B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
First week is not in the books yet till you actually do the Friday show. So welcome aboard, John Kincaid Show, here on 97.5 The Fanatic. We thank our friends at Bradford White Water Heaters for bringing you the 6 a.m. hour, the JK Show. Bradford White, here for the pro. And you need hot water, by the way. If you don't have hot water, you are craving it. I did not have hot water for a time yesterday, and I was craving hot water. But they fixed it. They fixed it. So, Bradford White Water Heaters, many people appreciate your fine work all around town. As we get started this morning, by the way, you can make an appointment early on if you are up early with us because you may be going into work or you may be doing something else. That Shaquille O'Neal will make his first appearance here on the John Kincaid Show today at 9:10. So make an appointment. Make sure you got the app up. Make sure you're streaming. Make sure you're using Alexa. Make sure you're watching on YouTube. He will not be with us. He is in Atlanta. But I begin. The dynamic between New York and Philly's always bothered me. The talking point that the bitter hatred between the fan bases. I can tell you this. I can sense within this room that there are some people who have some of that venom for New York. I personally haven't felt it because in my Philly sports fandom life, the Sixers have always been better consistently than the Knicks, except for a few blips on the radar. The Flyers are usually better than the Rangers. The Phillies have had more success than the Mets. And the Eagles, for whatever reason, despite the Giants' success, have usually beaten up on the Giants. The Giants don't beat the Eagles a lot. But the news yesterday, and I heard it break on Anthony Gargano's show here on The Fanatic, seeing the Mets free spending, grabbing star talent, while the Phillies organization cries poor mouth, annoys the hell out of me. It angers me when entities run sport teams like they're a corner grocer. They are trying to spin you a tale of like they're in financial hardship. When you know the escalation of the value of franchises more than offsets the idea that they're losing some money because of something like a pandemic. The Mets and Steve Cohen are doing all the things that Philly fans were promised when John Middleton was put in charge of this franchise. But something's changed. If you don't want to run things like a big league operation, it is time to head back to less risky investments. Because right now, it appears that Middleton wants to run the Phillies like an investment property. This isn't a shore house, dude. This is something that everybody in this town cares about. And watching the Mets be smiling doesn't make me happy. That's where we begin the 6 o'clock hour. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, and the coach, Eric Camille, making sure we are on the rails. Bob, I saw Jamie's reaction to the Mets yesterday. And I don't know about you with venom for New York. I've never felt it. I've never felt it because I always think that Philly's has pretty much had hand in sports, except for the Yankees. And I always think of the Phillies competing with the Mets, not the Phillies competing with the Yankees.
Yeah.
Except for 2009.
Yeah, I've never felt it either. And you and I have been following Philly sports even longer than Pat and Jamie. I never felt that contentiousness with, oh, you got to beat New York, New York, New York, of any of the teams. You laid it out there perfectly. Never had that kind of, it's only been lately, and Jamie, I don't know if you agree with me or not, it's only been lately that real Phillies-Mets thing, maybe it was like 07 when the Phillies and 08, the Phillies had to beat the Mets, and Jimmy Rollins said what he said, that I really felt a connection of Philly versus New York, but it's never really been all that prevalent to me.
The venom that appears to be seething from Jamie regarding the Mets, is the venom that you feel, though, is it directed towards the hometown team?
Yes.
Because that's where mine's directed.
Oh, absolutely. John Middleton is on my last nerve already right now. This is a guy back in, what, 2010 said, I want my damn trophy back. And now, frankly, you're the fourth, your playoff drought is the fourth longest in sports. This is a decade now we're going on. They haven't been over 500 in a major market with the amount of money that Johnny Cigars has to not make the playoffs. Come on. What the Mets are doing is right. I mean, Steve Cohen money isn't an issue, but the Nationals got better. You know, sneaky Josh Bell. The Marlins always give you a problem. Now you have to worry about the Mets, and we all know what the Braves are.
You didn't mention the gold standard franchise in the division just continually.
Yeah.
And they tore down for like 2 years.
They have a farm system.
Yeah.
It's this thing called a farm system where they're able to bring players up from their minor leagues and they contribute. It's amazing.
Here's how far ahead the Mets are of the Phillies right now, and it's really bothering.
Oh, wait till George Springer signs.
Exactly.
I don't think he's signing them.
No?
In reading all the Lindor stories yesterday and all, and looking at all the headlines nationally, almost to a T, all of them were, what are the Mets going to do next after making this blockbuster trade? And now, what is Cohen going to do next? And you're like, and at least in my mind, next? Chris, when are the Phillies going to do something first?
Now, if you're talking about the Mets now stepping up, and we already know what the Braves are.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling I'm worried about Pat Egan because I know he's an investor.
Yeah, I'm worried too.
You got to be worried.
Well, the Mets are my most hated team in sports.
They're your most hated.
Not even close.
They're close for me.
So for your generation, you guys.
I went to university with a lot of New Yorkers.
Okay.
And living amongst them, watching games with them, you learn to hate them pretty quickly.
Yeah. I'm worried about you though, Pat, because you like to get out there to Phillies games.
I do.
And you invest in the team.
I do. I have season tickets, but I don't know if I'll be doing that if JT Realmuto doesn't come back and John Middleton, as Jamie alluded to, Johnny Cigars decides to be cheap. I mean, Steve Cohen came in with his money and he's buying low because every team is crying poor. He's getting a steal on these two guys for giving up nothing. And it's amazing that he's able to do that. And Bob's right. It was like, what are they going to do next? And we're sitting here twiddling our thumbs as the rest of the division gets good. And the Braves are only going to get better because their farm system's always great.
Okay, can I tell you this? I will tell you right now, you all in this town and on this radio station, everybody's clamoring for Realmuto to be signed. JT, I'm going to tell you right now, the contract will end up being bad.
Yeah, most likely.
If you sign him, if you sign him, the contract at some point is going to end up being an albatross that everybody will get amnesia. Because I know Philly listening to it enough. Everybody clamors. Sign the guy. At some point, history tells you it is not good to sign a 31-year-old catcher.
Yeah, I mean,
big money.
If there's a substantial price tag, which there will be.
There will be.
And yeah, there's real. And if it goes to 6 years, you're going to probably eat two and a half years of that.
I think
you'd
probably eat 2 to 3.
Yeah.
Well, if the designated hitter comes into effect.
Well, yeah.
That's a back-end thing that you really have to look at.
Will probably come into effect.
Right.
In the negotiation. In the negotiation for the next collective bargaining agreement,
sure,
that will probably come in.
Yeah, and first base. I mean, we don't know what Rhys Hoskins is. Are they going to sign him?
Oh, I know what he is.
Well, okay, but are they going to sign him to a long-term
contract? He's not
Freddie Freeman. Yeah, that's my point. Like, he's not above being replaced.
No, he's not.
So there you go. I mean, it could be like a Joe Mauer situation where they take him from behind the plate and put him at first base.
It could be, and that could absolutely work, or it could end up being something that you're flipping. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah.
And New York is in our minds this morning, too, though, because also the Sixers end up with a positive test. Seth Curry, a positive test. So now the Sixers had to spend an extra night. I don't know if they stay in Brooklyn or they stay in Manhattan. I don't know where they stay when they're up there. But they have to stay an extra night.
Yeah. There's a Best Western that's pretty nice.
I think they're in Manhattan.
Yeah, I think they're in Manhattan.
So, I mean, the Sixers have to stay because Seth Curry has a positive test.
It was the only positive thing that came out of last night, John. That's for certain.
That was terrible.
It was so bad. And, you know, I'm sitting there watching the game. And look, here's how I got to tell you this because we're getting to know each other. I grew up coaching and a big part of my basketball history before covering Sixers in college and all that, and still is the high school game where it's 32 minutes. I went to a high school that is still a really, really good basketball team where every play, every possession, you break down every time. I even watch a 48-minute game like that in the NBA. I break down every little thing. That's a weak pass. That's this. That's that. So I watch games differently. I was getting so aggravated last night until, and I told you this morning when we came in, and this is the God's honest truth. I turned to Donna while we were watching the game, and I said, something's going on. She's like, what are you talking about? I said, look how diligent they're being with their masks all of a sudden. everybody on the bench, everybody, nobody, you weren't seeing. As soon as guys came off the floor, boom, masks. I said, I think something might be going on. Kind of blew it off, and sure enough, positive test day. As ticked off as I was at their performance last night, and I was ready to come in here all, you know, with everything ablaze, I kind of give them a pass that they got word during the first quarter
so
that
they got
somebody
distracted.
I think
it
so. I am not making excuses. That was horrible last night. But Doc Rivers watching him, I think he was like, okay, this is the effort you guys are giving. He still played Simmons 31 minutes, still played Embiid 29 minutes. I thought it was a, go ahead, you want to play like ass? You're still going to stay out there, though.
Spring Garden Lending specializes in bridge loans that help you acquire, rehab, construct, and refinance your investment properties. It's Spring Garden Lending. They're faster than a bank, and they are less expensive than alternative lenders. Let's head to the corner.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
It's not really a corner either, and someone pointed out, one of our YouTube viewers pointed out to me that you're sort of not in a corner.
You can't put Bobby in a corner.
Put Bobby in a corner. Man, okay.
And I hate that movie.
You really hate that movie. Yeah. So do I. Ben Simmons, the most confounding athlete that this city's seen in a while? Or is he overanalyzed?
No, I'll go confounding. And yesterday, a report came out that an NBA scout says he'll never get to that next level because of his work ethic.
What?
Yeah, I kind of challenge that a little bit.
Yeah, don't believe the social media.
Like, unless things have drastically changed in the 3 years that I haven't been around the team, Ben Simmons was one of the hardest and most consistent workers I ever saw, and I'll tell you a story about it. These guys have heard it before. When Ben Simmons was out with his foot injury, they had a practice one day, and practice was done, and the media had left, and Brett Brown and I were standing there talking, and I just said, you know, we hadn't seen or heard of Ben Simmons because he's out with an injury. I just said, how's he making out? What's he up to? He goes, you want to know what he's up to? Come with me. Opens a door to their new facility, to the gym, and there's Ben Simmons busting his butt, lifting weights with no shirt on, and look like a completely different person than the one that I hadn't seen in a month and a half. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I gotta get stronger. And like buffed up to 250 pounds. I've seen him at practice. I've seen him after practice. I know we see the Instagram shooting and stuff, and we all kind of blow that off, which is fine. But trust me, this guy is not going to get better because of a lack of work ethic. If there is a reason, it's because of a lack of basketball IQ.
Last night, if we had a secret camera on Jamie Lynch in your living room. What were you saying about Ben Simmons' performance last night?
Why can't you score 11 points?
You said something a little more colorful than that. I guarantee.
There might have been a couple expletives thrown in. Look, I love Ben Simmons. I've defended him at every corner. I recognize the defense. I recognize the passing. I recognize the just physical freak of nature that he is. Dude, it's year five. You have to... If it wasn't for Tyrese Maxey last night, Shake Milton, they're not even in the game. Like, then Ben Simmons has to be able to carry the team at points.
When you say you love Ben Simmons, why?
Because I always thought the next step was coming, and that's being a better scorer.
So you love him because of something that you think he can be. You don't love him because of what he is.
I can't love when he irritates me.
You're like one of those girlfriends.
Yeah.
That thinks, I can change him.
Yeah, I'm beginning to think he's never going to change.
Go ahead.
I'm of the belief that when people admire someone or like someone because of what they think they can be.
Well, he's already...
It's like an investment property.
He's already third-team All-NBA, and it's just like, dude, if you could just develop a mid-range game, you're top 10.
I mean, I see in Pat Egan, I tell him all the time, I see this diamond that we're polishing.
Yeah, but in year five, if the diamond isn't polished, you probably go try to find another diamond, right?
But he loves Ben Simmons. When I hear that... By the way, I've heard that from a lot of Sixers fans. Oh, yeah. I love Simmons, but...
Well, and part of the reason why is because of the fact that there is a contingent of the fan base that when he didn't turn into Magic Johnson year one, they couldn't stand him. So you've got guys that defended him so much that became such big fans of Ben Simmons. Like, I'm one of those guys where I defended him so damn much that I'm going to die on Ben Simmons' hill. But I also recognize that he needs to work on his game. But if this is what we get from Ben Simmons, it's still a pretty damn good player.
It is.
He just had a really bad night last night.
It is, but Bob... great players or players that end up being beloved, are they beloved because of one skill set? His defense is spectacular. I mean, it's
yeah, and that would be the one skill set that people will not hold on to. He could be a great defender, but of all the skill sets in basketball, shooting, passing, dribbling, whatever it may be, defense comes like really low. It's like, you know, are you an ass guy or are you a chess guy? And somebody says, oh, I like feet. Like, you're not going to hold on to that forever.
I've been talking to Rex Ryan.
Yeah. So here's my problem with not only just Ben Simmons, but also Joel Embiid. The Sixers need a coach that can teach these guys to finish going at the rim. If you watch Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons at 7'2 or whatever and 6'11, these guys go to the rim like they're 6'5 players. Joel Embiid constantly, you don't see him power. You see slams when nobody's around. Rarely do you see slams over people.
Never slams in traffic.
No, and it's finesse. Everything's finesse with the two of them. They have to learn a physicality. The way that Ben Simmons gets over a game last night, like you're talking about, Jamie,
finish at the rim.
And at the rim. It's not you go up towards the rim and float or back away or finger roll. No, you should be finishing at the rim. That's where your strength goes to, and that's what puts the pressure on a defender.
There was the one play last night that stood out to me. He had Jared Allen kind of on his hip. And he, like, triple pump
faked. Oh, my God.
He ended up getting called for the offensive foul because he hooked with his elbow. Dude, go up and slam the basketball. You're a freak. It just drives me a little nuts.
Let me ask you, though, how much of the poor performance by pretty much everybody not named Shake Milton and Tyrese Maxey had to do with the fact they found out a teammate had COVID?
I said that. And I do think that in the middle of the first quarter when the rumors are going around and it's like, uh-oh, you hearing? I'm sorry, your mind just does go another way. That's why my frustration from last night was knocked down a notch a little bit.
If you're driving less, you could be saving more on your car insurance. I want you to save money with pay-per-mile insurance. You get it from our friends at Allstate. So call a local Allstate agent and get yourself a quote today. The distraction level of that, it's a good, I don't want to say excuse. It is a good point, though.
It's valid, yeah.
To the thing that if somebody is finding out, so
as somebody that was diagnosed, there is a mental period where you're just like, ooh, all right, what the hell does this mean? Am I feeling a sharp pain in my lungs? Who have I been in contact? Like, there is that moment of, oh my God, I have to let everybody know I've seen. You know, so it is like a mental strain on you. So I could see it being very distracting in a game. Well, not sure to excuse them, but the human nature of that is, holy hell, your mind's not in the right place.
Have your wives ever called during a show?
Yeah. No,
never called during a show.
I actually got one yesterday.
No, like leaving you a voicemail, like call me as soon as you can. You
no,
ever that?
Luckily, no.
You are lucky.
Yeah,
God, you got one. Like,
oh, I've had two in my career.
That'll make your heart stop.
I swear to God, my heart's beating. I thought you meant it just happened to you.
No,
now.
No. What I'm saying is that's
that type of oh my God, what's
oh my gosh, like what's going on? Which, by the way, I absolutely hate. I'm like I hate that. Call me.
Oh, it's the
There's
worst.
An emergency.
Oh, somebody in this guy on the right show here is guilty of that.
This guy's the worst at it.
Oh, it's horrible.
Oh, you're pointing a coach?
Yes.
Yeah.
Eric,
can you speak for yourself?
He is the king of the call me text.
Okay.
And he knows what he's doing.
Okay, you can't do that.
Yes.
He knows. He knows what he's doing. And I've told him before, every time it's you
horrifying.
Text me that, I think I'm getting let go. Every single time.
Call me is not cool.
No.
That's not cool.
Why do you do it?
Coach, what is that about?
Yeah, you guys know the reason why. The reason why is because my phone number's blocked. So if I were to just call you, it comes up as no caller ID, correct?
Okay, can I hold you
and
at
you
right
might
there?
Not answer it. So it's, I always write, and plus, people today don't just pick up the phone and call people anymore because you think you're bothering them. So what? I text you guys and
I love
and
text,
say,
but don't text vague.
Yeah.
Be specific.
Yeah.
I'm telling you this. You'll send me one text. You will send me one call me text. You will never send me a second one because I will ignore it. I will ignore it because somebody can, if you can text me, call me, you can text me, I need to speak to you about this.
Yeah.
Did you follow up with this?
Scheduling question.
Right.
Call
or something.
Me.
I did. I texted you the other day, John.
And I answered you.
And
right?
I said, can you call me, please?
Can you call me, please?
Yeah.
Well, I knew I wasn't getting let go in the first week. So
I'm never calling you again, by the way.
It's not the first time.
Because you said yesterday you're not a phone guy. And I respect it.
No, but guess what? We had a nice conversation last night. But it was like I'm sitting there, you know, watching Sixers and do that. And you checked in on me again, which I find very kind. Now, Matt Dunn
21 checks in on Twitch. Because if you watch on Twitch TV, search 97.5 The Fanatic or on YouTube. And Matt Dunn 21 checks in and he says, there is a violation in studio.
Ooh.
A sort of a wardrobe violation.
Ooh.
Egan, is it you? No. Jamie, is it you? It
possibly? I don't know.
No.
Okay.
Is it me? No.
I know what it is.
What is
it? Oh, is this the mixing of the brands?
No, I'm not mixing. Okay. Well, Callaway is.
Yeah, it's golf.
Callaway's just a gossip.
Callaway's golf.
But I match because I have an
sleek.
I have an Under Armour. I know. It's because I have an Under Armour visor on in the middle of winter.
You're wearing a visor in winter.
Here's the reason. Fair point.
He says, unless you are living in a warm weather climate,
I agree.
Do not use a visor in the winter. And
fair
by the
point.
Way, complete, it is a fair point.
And I don't want to defend myself, but here is my defense.
This should be
I don't
good.
Want to, but I'm going to. Yeah. So I have a white Under Armour hat. A regular hat. I took it out last night to put on because I have Under Armour pants and Under Armour sneakers on, so you have to wear an Under Armour hat. Went to put it on, and it had a stain on it. I think one of my kids wore it, and it fell in the dirt. It had a stain on it.
So you wouldn't do that.
So I don't have another. This is a brightly colored shirt.
That's
you have to go with a neutral hat. I didn't really have a neutral. I don't. All my hats aren't unpacked from this rental house where I am. So I had to go on the fly at 3 o'clock this morning.
I need to ask something else. Egan, do you I shouldn't even have to ask this because I think you are honestly diving headfirst into the dirty hamper to get dressed.
Absolutely.
To get dressed in the morning. Bob is laying out his clothes.
Yeah, so I was
always do. I do it now too.
I was talking to Connor. Yeah. Connor does that too.
Because I get dressed in the dark, so I like to dummy proof.
Young Connor looks like he sort of is of that. He's one step up from the Egan school.
No.
At this point of
no, he's a fashionista.
He's a hipster fashion guy.
He's a hipster. He's
Mr. Tight Pants. He wears the schmedium shirts when he should wear a large. Yeah.
Tight pants, schmedium shirts, yeah.
Tight pants. Tight pants? You're saying Connor wears tight pants?
Oh, he does. He wears tight jeans. He came in the day after Christmas, our first day back from Christmas. He came in dressed like Han Solo. It's on our Instagram account. I put it out there.
Yeah.
Because I go, where's Chewie? Yeah, he's a fashionista.
Okay. Well, the idea being is that I do not lay out my clothes.
It saves me like 5 minutes in the morning.
And I constantly
worry
about how it looks, especially now that I watch the YouTube channel, 97.5's YouTube channel, go back and check it. And by the way, we've missed 3 breaks by more than 45 seconds this week.
The fact that you're counting is...
That's how messed up this mind is.
Don't miss another one.
We will not hopefully be doing that. We're going to try to keep that cool. Laying out the clothes, though, that is something I've never heard of that.
I get dressed in the dark. Everything's in the dark except for the bathroom
light.
You're
not trying to wake up your wife.
Yes.
Okay, now that adds a little bit. I am living by myself.
Yeah, right. I even lay out my underwear and t-shirt, everything.
Oh, yeah, so do I. Socks, underwear, t-shirt, pair of sneakers,
totally
hat.
Different. I was about to ridicule, and I shouldn't ridicule. Okay, we've got a lot coming up here on the John Kincaid Show. And by the way, the boss, Chuck, has said, don't call ever. So that is what, don't call me ever. He's told Coach not to call ever. So that is good. Don't leave one of those call me texts for somebody. Our phone number will be open for you, 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. If you'd like to do a little Friday conversation, remember, Shaquille O'Neal joins us today at 9:10. So make sure you're back for it if you have to leave us. But a documentary on a guy that I know to be a bit of a turd. We'll get to that. It's the John Kincaid Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, and the twisted coach, Eric Camille. Who sends call me texts? I'm never answering one. I will never
truly
answer.
Truly disturbing.
I will never answer the call me text. Call me because I need to ask you about blank. I will answer. I will never answer.
What's the deal?
I will never answer the call me text.
It is sometimes scary, like Egan said.
It's disturbing. You think something's wrong, too.
Yeah.
My wife is good for the, God bless you, Christina, but she's good for the, give me a call. There's something I have to talk to you about.
Yeah.
I need, and then it'll end up being something, but it's never something that I make it out to in my brain.
Yeah, of course.
Something's wrong. call, and it always happens around a show, like, you know, and it doesn't happen often. But that gives you that anxiety. What the blank's going on?
Oh, yeah.
What is going on?
I got one yesterday.
What's
because
that?
Because if you miss a call sometimes on your iPhone, it'll continue to pop up missed call.
And it was me, right?
No, it was my roommate slash wife. And I called her during the show and realized that the missed call was from yesterday or the day before. So I wasn't missing a call, if you will, during the show, and it wasn't that important. So I had to text her and say, hey, don't worry about it. But I was immediately concerned that something happened.
How many times do you talk to your wife a day on the phone, Bob?
I make one call during this show.
Okay. During the show?
Yeah, like a break on the show, I'll call. And then I, on my way home, when I get in the car to go home, I call to see if there's anything she needs on the way home.
Jamie?
Mostly never.
Mostly never?
Yeah, we're primarily text unless it's something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's your generation.
And usually I don't see her until, I don't talk to her until I get home for the most part. She'll send me a picture of Skylar in the morning.
So
that's
when you get in the car, you don't call your wife. Like,
I do.
You get in the call. I get in the car, I call Christina.
Oh.
The minute I get in the car,
I'll shoot a text
driving,
and say, see you soon.
See, she needs the, my wife needs the, to hear my voice.
I want to make sure the
watch
is
John. I've come
texting.
To realize that.
Bob
so
does
do
it
I.
Too. Bob does too. She hears the, you know, she hears that. So there was an interesting story that one young Jamie Lynch wanted to bring to the table today. And it is a guy that I have had a long, bad, sort of negative sort of history with.
This is the Lynchpin.
So, Tony Parker has a Netflix documentary special coming out. I believe it was released either last night or today. It's called The Final Shot. And it just had me thinking, Tony Parker is one of the sneaky greats.
Oh, he's sneaky, all right.
of the NBA the last 25 years or so. I don't know much about him other than he's French and he played for Popovich and he married Eva Longoria.
Who was married at the time when he started. Yeah,
not surprising.
Okay. Mr. Steal Your
Girl. He's French. He's horny by nature. It's in his blood.
They invented the really good kiss.
Yeah. He's really got cheese and wine and baguettes, man. Yes. Eva had no chance.
Who doesn't like a good boner?
What? What?
That was a drop that was made when you guys weren't on the show.
Right.
Oh, okay.
I didn't think I would have interest in a Tony Parker documentary. But I'm 100% going to watch this documentary.
Who's it produced by? Satan? I mean, is this something? Who produced this thing?
I don't know.
What's it? Tony Parker, is he sanitizing his history? That he's.
Well, I'm sure he's controlling the narrative.
I will tell you, is that, and just a little, by a good friend of mine was the man who was married to Eva Longoria when he broke up their marriage.
Yeah.
So I maybe have a slightly different
view. A little bias.
Now, if it's Tony Parker, the basketball player, I got a ton of respect. Got a ton of respect for him.
Yeah. Hall of Famer, no doubt.
No doubt. But I did doubt him. Like, I was slow to get on the bandwagon of admiring what he became. I got to admit that.
I think most were. And I think that's the point Jamie was saying about sneaky. I think most were. And
like Dirk's the greatest European ever. But hey, Tony Parker's probably
the greatest,
second.
Right? Detlef Schrempf.
In
terms of German basketball players, is Detlef and then everybody else.
I mean, he might be the second best international ever. You know what I mean? That's why it goes to his sneakiness.
He could be.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, the sneakiness goes to whole new levels. I told you the story.
Yeah. I don't know. Wait. Really and also, like, Oscar Schmidt's got to be up there. He never played in the NBA, but he's got to be up there with your.
Yeah, but I think you have to go to the NBA.
You got to go to the NBA.
Yeah, I do. I really do.
Fair enough.
Because you have to have relevance.
Yeah.
I mean, like, as far as but widespread relevance.
You know, it's funny. Tony Parker, if he's not on, I believe he won 3 championships in San Antonio. If he's not on 3 championships with a, you know, Duncan and everybody else, Manu, if he just toils in the NBA and goes through 14, 15 years at 15.5 points and 5 assists like he did, 6-time All-Star, is he a Hall of Famer?
No. No, the championships made him stage. Because the stage helps.
He seemed to step up in the biggest times. Like him and Manu had, like, onions.
Correct. They had, they had big things. I mean, the stage, Egan, the stage matters.
1,000%. Yeah, I mean, he was irrelevant when he went to Charlotte. There's a reason for that, right? Like,
well, he's 48 years old.
No, but my point is probably a lot of people forgot that he went to Charlotte. and he did, but he was out of the limelight. He was still playing, but he just wasn't there because it's Charlotte.
If Derek Jeter was a... His entire
Devil
career
Ray?
Was a Devil Dog, yes, or a Florida Marlin. He's not a Hall of Famer.
Well...
He's not.
Oh, I know.
Because
you're
taking out all the postseason... You're taking out all
his
the
numbers are on.
I disagree
with that. Completely. I got to disagree with that.
Really?
Yeah, Jeter's numbers are unbelievable. I understand what you're saying.
It wouldn't have the lore to him.
In baseball, you can put up those numbers with the worst of the worst, and you're still a Hall of Famer.
There's guys with numbers in baseball that aren't, that don't make it. Dale Murphy's not a Hall of Famer.
His numbers don't even come close. He didn't even hit 300. His numbers don't come all that close to Derek Jeter.
Two MVPs.
Yeah, two MVPs.
I mean,
yeah, it's pretty
299. He finished with 299 homers.
399. I thought.
Is it 399?
399. It might be 399.
Okay.
It might be 399.
It is 398.
398.
Oh, 398. Okay.
And then he brought the entire brood to Malvern. To live in Malvern when he lived here.
Oh, is that right?
So he had the entire, he had the entire family here, and then they stayed.
He hit 302 one year and 300 another year.
But there you go. That's it.
Okay, yeah,
here's what I was thinking of though. I thank you for this Tony Parker story. One, because it reminds me that there are people in the world that I don't want to trust. Yeah. But also two, that I have not watched the Unsolved Mysteries. The new second
oh, good. Release. I've seen two or three of the episodes.
Okay, don't
it's good.
Give any away,
it's
but
good.
Which ones are the best?
The Baltimore one's really good.
No, I saw that one. That's the first one.
Did you okay. see
that? That was the first. They came out with another set of episodes. The first one was the guy who I believe went off the roof.
Yes.
The Baltimore one.
Right, right. There was no...
I believe he committed suicide.
Yeah.
Because
I don't know.
No,
it seemed pretty shady.
Okay, how did they fall? How did somebody get him to go through the roof on that one?
They chucked him.
They chucked him off the roof.
Yeah, but wasn't there something that with the height of it all, it would have been much more damage?
Yeah, they said it wouldn't have landed there. You couldn't have...
Man, I wasn't there. I just think I believe what I believe. I'm going to tell you.
Look, Egan...
That's why it's unsolved.
Yeah. It's a different... Falling like that is different, but I'll watch those. There's something to watch.
Did you watch the French one?
Yes.
Okay.
That guy?
Yeah.
That was in Chicago and... And he they were supposedly have tracked him.
Oh, have they?
Hundreds of phone calls to the Unsolved Mysteries site tracked him to Chicago.
Huh. Oh, wow! That.
And it was weird because they said the guy he killed his whole family and
allegedly.
Well, no,
we have to be fair.
Do you? Guess
apparently,
what?
Apparently.
He can't come and find us. He's hiding.
Yeah, you don't know that.
Okay.
He's streaming right now. He's on YouTube.
Absolutely. He's on Twitch right now. Hey, dude.
But he's a big fan.
When they aired the episodes, hundreds of phone calls came in saying, I know this guy from Chicago. So he obviously, unless there's an exact doppelganger.
Yeah.
Which could be.
Yeah, that's happened before with cases
like
this.
Happened before. Anna and Alex.
Yes.
Ryan and Kevin.
Oh, my God. Oh, no, geez. We're done. Yeah. We're done.
There you go. There you go.
So who's watching Tony Parker? Show of hands.
I'll watch it now.
Yeah, I'll watch it now.
Okay. I want to see how he's depicted.
Yeah. It's all about, being French and coming over and that whole aspect.
I want to see how he's depicted.
I never thought I'd watch a Tony Parker documentary, here we are.
It's going to be a really easy way to figure it out. If he's a producer, he's depicted in a positive light.
Could be. I've seen some documentaries where... About
jerks
people where people lay their lives bare in front of people.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Say, I was a jerk here or had these flaws. You may not always need a new water heater, but when you do, choose Bradford White. My mom was very clear on that.
Bradford White water heater?
Yeah, she was. She really loved her Bradford White water heater. No, my mom was very clear on that as she knew she was dying. And she said, I know you're going to get up there. Don't make it a floor show.
At her funeral, she means.
Okay. Don't make it a floor show. She goes, your brother's going to be up there. Your brother's going to be up there and he's going to be a mess. And you're going to get up there and you're going to make it a floor show. She's like, don't do that. People don't like it when eulogies are long. She said, don't make them long. But she literally said, do not. She told me the last full day that I ever spent with her, where she was really coherent and everything. She said, do not portray me like I forget what word she used, but it was along the lines of you don't sugarcoat
right
Tell the thing. And it was. And I said, I let off my, first of all, my brother didn't blubber at all. My brother was freaking unbelievable. And he did a great one. And I was so proud of him. And when I got up, I said, look, I went to lunch with my mom around a year or so ago. We were having lunch and my daughter was there. My daughter went to the bathroom and my mom reaches across the table and she goes, can I ask you something? And she reaches her hand across the table like to hold my hand. My mom wasn't really warm and fuzzy. And I said, sure, Mom. And she goes, how did you get her and I got you?
Wow.
And I said, congratulations, you just wrote the first line of your eulogy.
Wow.
And that was the story that I told at her eulogy. My mom said, how did I get you and you got her? Because my daughter's like this incredible child. And I was a pain in the backside.
Wow.
She used to dress like Jackie Onassis with the big glasses and the scarves.
Oh, your mom did?
To go to church.
She didn't want to be recognized?
No, the nuns.
The paparazzi?
The nuns at St. Annie's.
Oh, okay.
When I was in grade school, if she went to daily mass or whatever, she said that the nuns would literally be jumping pews to get to her.
Mrs. Kincaid.
Do you know what your son did?
Let me tell you about John.
He tied fishing line to my podium and was yanking it during class.
You want to talk about like getting phone calls and being worried? You ever get that phone call? You come back when answering machines were a thing, you'd get home from school and you'd have a message on your answering machines from the principal saying, excuse me, Mrs. So-and-so, you need to call me.
Thankfully, but when that was going on, Bob, there weren't answer machines. We were in grade school.
No.
Yeah, so we didn't have that, but I did go upstairs to keep Sister Mary of Fatima from calling my parents. I went upstairs and took the phone off the hook.
Good move.
So that way the downstairs phone couldn't ring.
That's a power move.
That is a good move.
Bob, are you a believer that we're talking about Ben Simmons earlier, so we're on a little bit of a problem child as far as public perception discussions today. You believe Carson Wentz can turn this thing around? Because it is something that I think is uniform. Again, we talked about all week. It's uniform that everyone in this room and everybody with this show, we all would hope the best case scenario is Wentz goes back to being what Wentz was, right? Can he turn it around?
Well, here's what I was thinking of. So he has one season, that's 17 season, and it wasn't even a full season. What, 13 games where they went 11-2, MVP, all that stuff. So 13 games, if we're all being honest with ourselves, his rookie season was satisfying. But those
absolutely satisfying to me.
Yes.
It was great.
Yes. Yeah. But it was basically those 13 games in 17 that we all said, and you're lying if you deny it, oh my God, we got the franchise quarterback, he's here. 13
Done.
Games.
Of course. Done. When Done. Have you ever seen an Eagles quarterback be worthy of an MVP award?
I hear you.
We were drunk in love.
So, oh, absolutely.
So is it crazy that it took all of 12 games for all of us, pretty much, although we won him back, but for all of us in the Delaware Valley to say, oh my God, this guy probably isn't it? I mean, think about it. Yes, it is.
Yes.
The last four games of last season
were amazing.
People have said we're even better than the 17 game, or the, I'm sorry, the 13 game stretch back in 17.
Well, you consider the supporting cast that he was playing to.
And now 12 games.
Imagine this.
12 games, and basically, as a whole, he's it. He's done.
Hoagie Mouse are reactionary. Fancy that.
Yeah, but when have you seen, okay, give me an athlete that you can think of
that
was at
back.
That height, that then you say, I'm taking it down to this.
Mm-hmm.
You go here.
It was extremes.
I can't think of another athlete.
Steve Sachs?
No, that Philly embraced, this town. Because the reaction, I think, conversely, was very much just as positive when he was on the rise.
Sure, absolutely.
As it has been negative. And I think that's part of it, is we fell in love with Carson Wentz fast.
Oh, yeah.
I know, I was.
I mean, he put out in his third year, you know?
Not the third date.
He made us wait for it, and then we were like, whoa.
His third year.
This was worth the wait.
You guys get action on the third date?
Yeah.
Good for you.
I didn't say this.
Some of us have to wait a little bit longer, is all.
I thought there was a third date rule.
Bob, do you want to expand on that?
Bob gets very pensive at times. Bob gets very pensive at times. I'm reading when the Netflix documentary comes out on Cooney.
I'm watching that one.
Nah, you got a cue cover in your rectum? Loosen up.
My wife would say, still waters run deep. And you hold your cards sometimes. Sometimes you flip your cards down the table. You hold your cards close to the vest sometimes. I'd like to see that documentary.
Yeah.
Just tell us when you lost your virginity, Bob.
I don't want to watch coaches.
We had that conversation the other day. We don't need to
coaches.
No, Coach may have bodies in the basement.
I don't know if I want to see Egan's.
No, you do.
I will tell you, I found you the most before I started working with all of you, you were the person that I found the most fascinating out of the four of you.
Most people do, but it has to do with how the hell is he still employed?
No, not true. I see that diamond thing. I see it. All right, we have NFL playoff action coming up this weekend, and they're calling it, I love it when Anthony Gargano every day, Super Wild Card Weekend. Look, it's made it. They made it super.
Oh man!
Oh man! It's Super Wild Card Weekend.
Three games.
We got three games both days. This is awesome.
It is like a holiday.
Bond over my meatballs.
Next weekend's probably the best weekend of football of the year, but this is pretty damn close.
Okay, the game you are like most jazzed to watch.
Colts Bills.
Colts Bills is the one you're most jazzed to
watch. Me too. Absolutely. Colts Bills.
It is.
There's some good games.
Okay, six games. No, wait a minute though, because the TV executives are saying that you guys are nuts.
Yeah.
Because they picked the worst spot for it is Saturday, the 1 o'clock game.
Yeah.
That's the worst game. Egan, where you vote?
I gotta go Cleveland. I need to see if that team can you know, not only win a game for the first time since the Reagan administration, but do it without their head coach.
That is a bit of a problem.
That's to me the most intriguing storyline is this team finally gets in the playoffs and their coach tests positive.
See, Rams Seahawks is what I'm
That's a great
interested.
One.
I think,
yeah.
I think
division
that's,
rivalry. Yeah.
I think that's gonna be the closest one.
I think it's a blowout. I think Seattle blows them out.
Okay, Seattle down the stretch has been amongst remember this year, Russell Wilson was being talked about for an MVP.
Yeah, after 6 weeks, he was right there with Rodgers.
Okay, no one's talking MVP for Russell Wilson anymore.
He had a 4 or 5 week streak that was pretty cold.
The idea that there is one bye in the NFC and the AFC. It's huge because 9 of the last 10 Super Bowl participants are of teams that made the Super Bowl. So 5 years, 9 of them have had a bye.
Yeah.
So I wonder what that's going to play into.
If the Eagles didn't have a bye, maybe Nick Foles doesn't have that magic that first game. And, you never know what happens.
If the miracle, I always believe the Eagles Super Bowl doesn't happen if I think the Rams could have caused them problems, but they got beaten by the Falcons. Then you had the Minneapolis miracle.
Sure.
I think that sent them. Because I truly believe if the Saints rolled in that next week, the Saints would have gone to the Super Bowl.
Look, the Eagles shouldn't have beaten Atlanta.
Yeah.
If you get to the interception at the end of the first half,
Thank you, Keanu.
If Julio Jones somehow doesn't fall down on the game-winning touchdown
and Jalen lockdown.
Like, Atlanta should have won that game. Eagles were very lucky. Nick Foles looked horrible in the first half.
No,
I hear you.
And that was the game where I went, they're actually going to win the Super Bowl, was the Atlanta game. Because you survived three shots in the end zone to Julio Jones, I was convinced. And then the Minnesota miracle happens, and you go, okay, that team just blew their load. I mean, it's like they're not going to come in here and win. That was the Super Bowl.
By the way, you used the if your aunt had...
Yeah.
I had that was one of my first complaint letters that I got in Atlanta.
Really?
Yes, was that. So it was, if the queen has a royal scepter, she'd be the king. That's what I ended up using to try to not offend people. I guess here it's not. With Anthony talking about his, being able to preside over it. The game you are least interested in watching.
Bear Saints.
That's absolutely mine too. I have no interest in watching the Chicago Bears.
The Tampa Bay Washington one is kind of an obvious one. But I want to see Washington's front four versus Brady and see if they can get to him.
I want to watch that game for a different reason, Bob. I want to see the Washington football team get their teeth kicked in.
Wow.
Because I do not want to see them put an exclamation mark on their season at 7-9 that says, they played Tom Brady and the Buccaneers really tough, and they've got some positive momentum to build off of in the offseason. Not that definitely matters,
But I think a negative reinforcement at the end of the year to me really would pay off.
Well, they're going to have it in this way. They are going to get their butts kicked. I think Brady and company go in there and just kick the crap out of them.
I would say 8.5-point line.
Plus, Alex Smith, it's the feel-good story, but this has to be it. Like I'm begging for this guy.
He's tough to watch.
So they're in the hunt for a quarterback big time. And in a draft where they made the playoffs, so they're all the way back at like 20th or something like that. And we know a lot of quarterbacks.
19 or 18.
Yeah. And we know a lot of quarterbacks are going to go early. They're in trouble.
Well,
they're in trouble moving forward.
A certain guy in Houston is.
You're not taking over the GM job in Houston and trading Deshaun Watson.
No, I wouldn't.
Not after DeAndre Hopkins.
I would put it at 10% at best.
You don't take that job. You take that job because he's
Deshaun
there.
Deshaun Watson.
Hey, why are you going to be listening this morning at 8 a.m.? Well, hopefully you're going to listen all through the 7 o'clock hour, too. But this morning at 8 a.m., it's your chance to qualify to be able to find a way to get yourself some FU money for you from us. The cash key giveaway word will come your way today at 8 a.m. And we'll tell you what to do with it. Listen at 8 a.m. It's your chance to win $500. And should you be so inclined, we have a guest joining us today at 9:10. So make sure that you have got your app up if you're going into the office. Make sure you are watching on twitch.tv. Make sure you're on YouTube. Even though he won't be with us, he will be with us on the phones. Mr. Shaquille O'Neal will join us. Who, by the way,
I've heard of him.
The Missinelli crew in the afternoon, they seem to have a little problem with Shaq, it appears. I'm going to ask for a little history on this one. They seem to have a little problem, like that they thought it was very predictable that Shaq and Charles were busting on Embiid last night at halftime. Completely deserved. Completely deserved.
And there's history.
Why would they not be? Why would they not be? That's their job.
It's like when a coach tells you, when I stop yelling, that's when you know I don't care anymore.
Yes.
I think Shaq and Charles see the potential of Embiid and go, come on,
man. I will tell you this. I've had this discussion with him about Joel Embiid and Simmons, who, by the way, at least 50 times. He'll share his thoughts on that
a
little bit later on today. All right, the 7 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show comes your way next. Stick around, won't you? Here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
And a good morning to you on this Friday edition of the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Appreciate you finding us, whether you are listening on terrestrial radio. I love that term. You're listening on terrestrial radio.
Yeah.
97.5 The Fanatic. Whether you are listening on your app, whether you are tuned in this morning on YouTube, search 97.5 The Fanatic. Whether you are on Twitch TV, if you're one of the real cool kids. And Pat Egan has told me that the cool kids don't say cool kids. So you're probably not one of those. 7 a.m. hour driven by AAA. Wherever the open road takes you, I think you should be taking AAA along with you. Make them your passenger seat. Do that. I want you to get the crystal balls out, folks. Because right now, as we start this 7 o'clock hour.
No, not those ones, James. Yes,
I didn't go there.
Okay. We are starting a new generation. We are 1 week into a new generation, as determined that every 20 years, you talk about a new generation. And as we take one out, gaze into our future here in Philadelphia. The four major sports teams all facing very interesting futures. There is one of them that appears to have the biggest upside right now. And that would appear to be the Flyers, in my mind, the team that probably has the biggest upside. Then you look at the Eagles situation and it looks potentially bleak. The Phillies are now with the Braves in their division and the Mets now wanting to spend and having an owner. Just take a look into that crystal ball a little bit, gentlemen. Which team goes to the postseason the most in the next, you know, and we're going to keep it in the close to future. Which team's going to hoist a trophy first? Which franchise has the bleakest view as we look into this? Many are going to say the Eagles because of all the distress that we're going through right now. But I've got to tell you this. If my crystal ball, and I'm polishing it a little bit and I try to figure this out, I'm seeing red and white. And I'm thinking the Phillies may have to struggle to be relevant. in this generation. And that scares the hell out of me. As we start the 7 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show, Bob Cooney, Pat Egan, and of course, Jamie Lynch. Bob, I'm worried that we're talking about a baseball generation where we're going to have to struggle to be relevant.
Couldn't agree with you more. I just don't.
You rarely say that. So say that,
you? I'm big on, all right, foundation, as we've talked about with all the teams. Okay, what do you have that you can build on? What's your foundational pieces? They don't have a farm system at all. They have an owner who said crazy money spend. I don't know. I think the biggest thing about money that's going to come up with the Phillies.
Does it look like stupid money to you?
Pretty soon is going to be that Bryce Harper wants out. Because I think he's going to fail, meaning Middleton, I think he's going to fail in so many other areas of trying to get players, of either not spending money or not spending wisely or not getting whatever is needed to be gotten to surround Bryce Harper. I don't think that's too far off in the future, like maybe after next season, that Bryce Harper starts really questioning,
oh, geez,
what is it that I'm doing here?
Well, nobody
besides collecting a lot of money.
Nobody has portrayed themselves more as I'm all in, I'm a Philly guy than Bryce Harper. I ask you, Jamie Lynch, do you believe that? Because I find it to be genuine, but I have other people tell me that is such an act. I don't believe it. I think he's genuine.
I want to believe it, but I believe he's a marketing machine. Like, he knows the deal. He was given $330 million because he was going to make money back for this franchise. He comes out with the fanatic cleats and all that, and it's great, but it's calculated. Like, I do believe there's a degree of him that is genuine, but he's a machine. He's bigger than Bryce Harper, the person.
Pat Egan, I do not want Bryce Harper as my general manager, because I've said it before. I believe the JT Realmuto contract, if they sign him to a huge, big money, 6-year deal, monster deal, it will be a bad deal at the back end. There will be some point where that money is a bad deal.
Yeah, but most contracts in Major League Baseball, the back end is a bad deal. Most of them. Because the player just breaks down. You have to overpay. You have to give too many years to get the player locked in.
So,
and if they really want to contend, then they have to sign him back. I mean, I agree with you. I don't really want my player being the GM. But in this situation, like last year, Bryce Harper would have been a better GM than Matt Klentak.
Well, look at the crystal ball, Egan. You got it right in front of you there.
Yeah, it's
who's the bleakest future of the four major franchises?
Not even close. It's the Phillies. And I thought the exact same thing Bob did yesterday, which is it's amazing that in 13-year deal, 3 years in, I'm thinking, do you sell on this? And it's not because of the player underperformed. It's just because where's the hope of this team?
I got to wonder, Bob, if there would be, when you're looking at that, I thought people would jump in on Eagles and that would end up being a thought process. I thought one of you was going to say Eagles because of where we're at right now.
They can correct that in 3 years. I
believe that.
I don't see the Phillies fix coming.
Yeah, and I think the Eagles, like we talked about a little bit yesterday, because they have been so wildly successful. Now, I know they've only won one Super Bowl, but if you really look at it,
they've been nice.
Over the past 10, 15, maybe 20 years, they're probably one of the top five teams in the NFL as far as wins goes and all that. I think because of that, it's hard to imagine them being bottom dwellers.
And think about, too, with the Phillies, right? Like, look at the last generation of Phillies players that won a championship. Jimmy Rollins was drafted in 96. You've got Chase Sully was drafted in 2000. Ryan Howard was drafted in 2002. I think Cole Hamels was 2001. So it took them, for Jimmy Rollins, it took them, what, 11 years to win a championship. For that core to really come into their own, it took anywhere from 11 to 7 years, 6 years, whatever. There's no quick fix. They have Alec Bohm, and that's it.
Who's got the brightest future, Jamie Lynch?
I think when the Sixers trade for James Harden, they will.
Ugh.
Okay. Does your crystal ball show you that trade being conducted?
Do not
text Daryl Morey about it.
I tried to put myself in Daryl Morey's shoes last night.
Yes.
And
those are big shoes.
Yeah. I have a feeling he was extremely irritated. And it doesn't take too many more of those games to push in for a guy that he knows firsthand what James Harden brings to a team.
Brightest future, Bob, for me, Flyers, Sixers, Eagles, Phillies.
I see nothing wrong with that. Our crystal balls are meshing.
Hey now.
I'm glad there's that plastic barrier. Yeah,
it's sexy when you guys say there. That.
Is that your list too?
No, it's Flyers, not even close. That's a okay. lock. And then it's Sixers, Eagles, Phillies.
Okay. Okay.
But what about when Harden's a Sixers?
I know, that's exactly what we just said.
I thought you said Eagles were two.
No,
Eagles three.
Eagles three. You're listening to a better radio show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, be listening and all the time hang out with us. Make sure you are watching on YouTube. Make sure you are checking us out at twitch.tv. Last night, let's just say the Sixers loss did not go over well on the NBA on TNT. And Shaquille O'Neal, who will join us roughly around 2 hours from now here on the John Kincaid Show, said championship teams don't do what they did tonight.
Every championship pedigree, how we win is got to be dominant at home. You got to beat the team you're supposed to beat. You got to be above 500 on the road. They have to learn how to do that. For so many years, they've been going on that switch. They tried to turn the switch on there in the fourth quarter. It didn't work. So they have a lot to prove in the regular season.
Yeah. Did anybody, by the way, take offense to Shaq being critical of the Joel Embiid last night at halftime?
No.
Well, no, we had teammates on this radio station that did. It was uncalled for. I don't understand it. I mean, you have every right. Charles and Shaq both sort of ride the young Sixers stars.
Yeah,
they ride.
And Charles, it's personal for him. He loves the Sixers.
He loves the Sixers.
And he wants to see him succeed.
And believe me, Shaquille has tried. He's tried with Ben Simmons, you know, reaching out, making that connection there. Embiid, he loves Joel Embiid. He wants to challenge
because he knows how great he can be.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny how polar opposites they are when it comes to playing basketball. So if you guys remember Shaq, we remember power,
yes.
Baskets coming down, all that stuff. But we also remember the guy that wanted to get the ball on the fast break and dribble and go behind the back and between the legs and throw a no look pass. It's that athlete wants to be a singer mentality. Big man wants to be a smaller man. I wish to God Joel Embiid would want to be a powerful big man more than being the finesse player that he is. He's got the finesse part down pat. The jump shots, this and that, you know, the scoop layups, the up and unders. I need power from him. I need Shaquille O'Neal a little bit injected into Joel Embiid for him to reach that next level.
I don't know if, and we'll ask flat out, we'll ask Shaq about it, whether he thinks that he has that in him to aspire to get to that kind of dominant level. I don't know that is it in you? It's got to be in you, right, Jay?
I would think it's a mentality. Yeah, it's. I wouldn't think it's something that you can grow into. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that should be your mindset all the time.
Shaq was a bully, though.
Yes.
Yes.
No, but he was a bully growing up.
Oh.
And he's talked about it many, many times. He was a bully growing up till he was around 14.
Right.
And so he used to, you know, he was a bully. So.
And Joel Embiid was bullied when he got to the States. Like, it's well known, when he got to IMG Academy, he was so bad. IMG Academy is loaded with talent that he was made fun of. So, yeah, I mean, you have to have that alpha dog.
Mental approaches.
I'm not asking, and I totally agree with you.
Right.
And some guys do have it built in, but you can be taught not to go off of your opposite foot and lay the ball this way. You can be taught, blow a whistle when a guy says, stop. Jump off your power foot, and I want your hands touching the rim. It can be taught to play a tougher type game.
First of all, I ain't no bitch.
Get in with us, 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975 if you'd like to join in the conversation. I do want to let you hear quickly, though, what Doc Rivers had to say about his team and their execution.
I told them from day one, we're going to learn how to execute. That's one of our goals. I don't think we're a great executing team, and we're going to learn how to do it. It told you a lot. The first play of the game, we threw the ball away to start of the game. The first play in the second half, we didn't execute the play the way we're supposed to execute. They need to be told that.
I refuse to be, it's just me. I refuse to take any regular season game and make any kind of big judgments about it.
No,
and obviously, the COVID test coming in positive for Seth Curry may have affected mentally.
Definitely. I mean, one of the first things I went through when I got diagnosed with it was the mental kind of strife it puts on you. And, oh my God, who have I come into contact with? What's next? Is my asthma a super concern here? Like, all these things start, you know, kind of snowballing in you mentally. So I get that, especially if they found out in the second quarter. The end of that second quarter was nightmare stuff.
Yeah,
it was horrible basketball.
When Jamie got it, because Jamie was the first one on the show to get it, and I think immediately you start thinking, okay, what happens if I get it? How close in contact was I? And then every little sniffle and cough you get, you're like, that's it.
Well, Jamie, though, and I didn't know asthma was an issue.
So I'm a high risk.
So you were a high risk.
Yeah. So that starts racing in your head.
So, Egan, you just have those tiny lungs.
Yeah, my little boy lungs.
You were concerned a little bit about that.
I can hold my breath for a good 37 seconds.
And Bob doesn't get sick. That's the thing right here.
He's
Bob
a picture of health.
Sick. That's what, I do not get, if
you, I rarely get sick.
I think it was 9 or whatever. There's different numbers, but I took 3 sick days the past year, and then I had gone certain years where I know I went 2 years at one point where I didn't take a sick day.
Oh, so you're Chris Traeger.
I just don't get sick. Now people would go, you should use your sick days.
Yeah, I mean, we're at the point now, especially with what's going on now, that when you're sick, don't bring it in.
You do not bring it in.
Yeah, and I was lucky.
By the way, are we all in agreement here? Circle of trust with this room, that if you're like, even though you've had COVID and everything, we're in an agreement. If someone's sick, they're staying home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Home. Now the problem though is, I think our society has deemed it of like you got to toughen up, right? You got to come in. You got to want to show you want
it. That's the way I was raised.
And it's like,
no,
you're weak if you go, hey, even though it's a common cold, I'm not feeling great. But I think that's still ingrained in us.
Yeah,
I don't want to look at it like I'm weak.
We're all in agreement, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So real quick, I'm not really feeling that great right now. So I'm gonna head out.
Oh my gosh. I think you got swine flu again, or who it they Hey, if you're driving less, you could be saving more on car insurance. Save money with pay per mile insurance from our friends at Allstate. You can call your local Allstate agent today and get a quote. How can it be that you are employing someone for a long time and you don't know who they are and what they're about? Bob Cooney will tell us about it in the corner.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's corner.
How can it be, Bob? How can you not know? You and I not knowing each other well is different. We haven't worked together that long. How can you know somebody for 4 or 5 seasons and not know each other?
And that's my question with the Eagles and Doug Peterson. Do they know how to make him work best? He comes here, new coach, fine. Second year, wins a Super Bowl. My God, great. Then loses coordinators. Things start to drop off. They start surrounding him with people. Okay? Then it's Doug Peterson comes out and says, he comes out and says, yeah, no, these guys are my assistants and they're going to stay. And the very next day, the company fires the assistants. And then they surround him with even more offensive people. And it comes to this year. And that happens. And then they say, no, we're going to get rid of those offensive people that we brought in for you. And Peterson comes out and says, yeah, I need to be the lone voice. I'm the guy that fixes it. And I'm not putting this on Doug Peterson.
No.
I'm not doing anything here except saying, what are they doing? Like, what is the consistency around Doug Peterson? And do they know what type of coach he is? Is he a guy that needs...
Inconsistency.
Yeah.
Is the only consistency.
Exactly. And now all the talk is, well, do they get him an offensive coordinator? Because that's what he needs. He shouldn't be calling plays. All right. I don't know.
They
I don't know who
they
he is.
They won a Super Bowl with his mental approach, his what, knowing when to push the chips to the center.
Absolutely, and I don't think you can deny at this point the effect Frank Reich has on him. I mean, it's like any good president or, CEO, your cabinet, your inner circle, your trust tree has to be qualified and good at their jobs, and Doug's Super Bowl team and that staff was phenomenal. And I think he needs to take a long, hard look in the mirror and think about bringing in a Jim Caldwell type or somebody in the NFL that, has established themselves, maybe isn't looking for that next head coaching lily pad to jump to and can come and dedicate to being an offense coordinator, and he needs to give up the play call.
Yeah, Egan, do you have a trust tree? I mean, the term trust tree, I've never heard that before.
Yeah,
oh,
really?
Well,
it's from old school when he's,
okay.
when he's talking to the psychiatrist.
Oh, okay.
I thought we were in the trust tree.
Trust tree.
It could be your basic cotton white panties.
I don't know. We went to the Olive Garden, I was looking at the waitress. And I was curious.
We all have trust tree.
Wait a minute. He went... I'm not going to get it.
Look, the reference went over your head, and you just got to own that, okay? But watch the movie.
No, you went to Olive Garden.
When you hear your family.
The salad and breadsticks are delicious.
Yeah, I think we all do. I think we all have a contingent of people you can rely on. I have Coach over here that I confide in quite a bit. But in all seriousness, you need a group of people that you can trust, you know? And I think Jamie's right. Like, you need to get a guy in here that is looking to get back in a head coaching spot. When Frank Reich came, he was widely regarded as a future head coach, and they ended up winning a Super Bowl. You don't need the long-term game of a Graham Harrell. You just need a guy who needs to get the stop off, but that you can trust. Okay. That's what you need.
Trust. And here's the one thing that could be really damning also is, I think, Jamie, I think you believe this too, and maybe a lot of us do, that the best thing about Doug Peterson was his emotional intelligence, sure, was the relationship with the players. Agree or not,
emotional intelligence,
I really think that that's taken a hit, and I think it's taken a big hit, and I don't think it's any longer a thing that players look at and say, wow, he is phenomenal at this. And that could be pretty damning,
yeah,
if that's
but,
the case.
Like, the thing with Reed was, when you knew the end was here, when the players kind of quit at the end of the season on him, you're still not seeing that with Doug. Like, they were pissed off in a meaningless Week 17 game. I don't want to make too much of it, but I still think they want to play for him.
Reed was 14 seasons.
Yeah, it's different.
And I don't know how many times you can hear a coaching message.
Sure.
Because I don't believe
he
Andy
needed to go at
yeah,
that
I
point.
Think, I think I really do. I yeah. think Andy needed to go.
But the no players question. The players and stopped.
It just is, well, you're hearing the same thing every day. You know, it gets a little bit, it's sort of like some of our,
I don't think Doug's at that stage.
It's like
yet.
Some of our staff meetings. It's only week one. Hey, remember, Shaquille O'Neal joins us today at 9:10 a.m. So less than 2 hours from now, you are making an appointment for that. But I realize some of you might be a little tight for cash. Some of us lost jobs in the year 2020, and maybe you've lost a little cash. Well, be sure to be listening at 8 a.m. today, your opportunity to win $500. Oh, and by the way, you're going to have an opportunity at 8, an opportunity at 10, an opportunity at 2, 12, 4, 6, bounce. Get the idea? 7 times a day, we're giving you the opportunity to win $500. So you got to be listening. You'll have that opportunity. You got to be listening today at 8 to find out how it all works. The disappointing discussion we had, though, where we're talking about the Phillies and where they potentially might be. John Middleton is a character that I only have been following from afar. The more research I've been doing, the more concerned I'm becoming, especially when I watch what Steve Cohen's all about. He had a press conference in October, and I had missed this quote where he talks about owners and baseball people, and I want you to hear this.
We don't really have a firm timetable. I think one of the things, Jim, that's really going to potentially play havoc with this offseason is COVID. I mean, right now you can't even our offices aren't even open. So if you had somebody new today, They can't go into the office to work. They can't meet people. They can't work with people. They can't. It's hard. Holding Zoom meetings only goes so far.
Yeah, I mean, look, he starts leaning on the COVID thing. And by the way, I saw the franchises conducting their business. But he talks about owners not being baseball people.
One of the problems I have, I think most owners have, is we're not baseball people. You know, we're not raised, you know, we aren't scouts for 3 or 4 years. We don't then go into the farm system for 3 or 4 years, because that's the way you really learn a business. That's the way I learned the businesses that I ran. I started working in our factory when I was 16 years old. And so there's always been, there's a bit of diffidence.
What? Diffidence?
Diffidence.
You're a scribe.
I plead ignorance.
I do not
here.
Know.
It is actually a word. Well, I didn't think it was.
Here's what I'm going to tell you about what
I've never used.
That's a cigar magnet word right there.
I'll tell you what Mr. Middleton said, though, that I take total offense to. If you own a business, and many millionaire, billionaire types own businesses,
mm-hmm,
they don't have to participate in the business.
You trust the people.
Hire great people.
Yes.
Get the hell out of the way.
Exactly.
You don't have to be a baseball person.
No.
You can be a great... Look, the Braves, owned by Liberty Media. Liberty Media is Cinemax.
Okay.
Liberty Media is...
I watch them late at night.
A bunch of different... I figured you did. A bunch of different like entities that they run and that they own.
Mm-hmm.
They own like Formula One Racing, I believe...
So in other words, they don't know what they're doing.
I can tell you, they don't know.
They appointed somebody to do their job.
There's a guy, and we will talk to him closer to baseball season. When you talk to the guy who runs the Braves, Alex Anthopoulos, he is, it's such a breath of fresh air. And you hear him do a radio interview, it's like talking to one of your buddies. Mm-hmm. And he gets in knee deep into it. But they leave him the hell alone, Bob.
Yeah.
They leave him alone.
Yeah, but you know what? Now we're talking out of both sides of our mouth because we wanted an owner to do that. And I'm with you. But okay. Then we want an owner to step in and sign Bryce Harper. So we can't have it
both
ways.
That's a different thing. No. They're completely different.
No, because signing the check is different than inner.
I get it, but you want him to step in and get JT Realmuto. I mean, I'm all for, you know, hiring the right people. The problem is when they hire the, quote, wrong people, but they think they hired the right person.
No. That's
the problem.
I want the baseball guy or the football guy or the basketball guy to go to the owner and say, here's the move I want. I want Daryl Morey to say, here's the move I want to make. We're taking on this salary. We're doing this. We're going to go above a luxury tax or whatever it is. And I want him to then have the owner say, gotcha.
And where do I sign?
My rebuttal to that is too many owners in this town have hired the wrong guy. Like Jeffrey Lurie has faith in Howie Roseman. He's the wrong guy. John Middleton had faith in Matt Klintak too long. He's the wrong guy. So when you have these owners who are hiring the wrong guy, that's the problem is they have faith in him because they hired him to do that job. They're just not doing it well.
They're definitely not doing it well. I mean, but the idea that an owner, they just need to be able to get out of the way, move to the left. So, if you want to be front and center at the Bryce Harper press conference, do it. But you don't then have to constantly be, look, you wanted to play like, hey, we're going to be big time players. And now you've got another owner in your division who's making you look like chump change.
Yeah. Well, his art collection is worth more than like the Phillies franchise. So their backs are against the wall here.
They're absolutely unbelievable.
And I expect them to go get a George Springer. And they're going to push all their chips in because money's irrelevant to Steve Cohen.
And all this is just leading up to the next move, as I said earlier.
Do you have to have a rooting interest in order to be interested in watching something? We'll tell you about it next. It's the John Kincaid Show. Welcome to your Friday morning here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey guys, Bob Cooney here. Football playoffs. I'm telling you, the first weekend has always been my favorite. I can't wait to bet all the action this weekend on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. If you've never tried FanDuel before, the football playoffs are the perfect time to give it a shot. You know why? Because right now, new users can get an exclusive 25-1 odds boost on any team to win during this weekend. That's right, 25-1, any team, any playoff game this weekend. You got a slew of them coming up. I love Tampa Bay. I love Pittsburgh. I love Buffalo. Those are three games that I'm going to be looking really closely at. So don't miss out on this exclusive offer. You know, I've been betting on football all season long, and it's been so much fun. All you have to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use promo code Bob so they know I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Bob. Must be 21 or older and present in New Jersey or Pennsylvania. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Maximum bonus $125. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
How is your Friday going? Thanks for hanging out with us, the John Kincaid Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. The first, I guess, real big weekend of the work year. Because last weekend was still holiday weekend. Everybody back to your first full week of work. How do we think things have gone as far as first week of work? Are you more tired when you go home, having to be worn out by me all day long? Or is it a little more tiring?
I'm pretty energized anyway. But like, no, I think the new show has energized me this week. I feel good. I don't have like that holiday hangover.
No, I feel great.
Other hangovers?
I don't get holiday hangover, but I have a grain alcohol hangover.
What is your hangover remedy?
I'm not kidding you. I don't know when the last time I had a hangover was, but it used to be back in the day, and we're talking a long time ago.
Yes.
I would work Sundays at the Daily News, and a lot of times it would be a stop at Taco Bell.
Which, by the way, you did the other day.
Yes, but it wasn't a hangover.
By the way, I found today, on the way to work, I decided, and I was very proud of myself. First day that I just, because usually I will have one of those, it's like the pre-made protein shakes.
Uh-huh.
I'll have that. Because I have to take a medication in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I have that, and then and I've been having fresh fruit, but not eating. And this morning, I was having that craving to just say, let's go get donuts. Let me get donuts yeah. or something. I pull and I go down to a 7-Eleven, and then I walked out. I walked in.
That's
I walked
good work
down.
By
I
you.
I said, stay away.
Proud of you.
I said, stay away. Don't do that, because I figure if I open up Satan's door,
yeah.
he's strolling in.
You know what you should try? Eating ice cream and then spitting it out.
I do not, what, or coconut oil?
Yeah, try that. That's
Unfortunately,
great.
Unfortunately, Gabe Kapler's advice there may be coming.
Let's open up and chat. Well, I tried to give a little hint to Coach today. I said, John came in and said he was hungry. Jamie and I are starving, too. Wouldn't it be cool to get, like, I don't know, some breakfast stuff in here, like, for our first week of the show? End of the first week of the show.
COVID.
And Coach was like, no, the show isn't done until the you know, 10 o'clock.
Really?
And I was like, wow, Coach.
Well, wow. I mean, as Bob says, he's the fun police.
By the way, if he sends you a two-word text, call me. and that's what he says to you? Send him a two-word text. I'll tell you what the word should be.
I think I have an idea.
610-632-0975. I love, before we get to Jamie, because Jamie has something that I think is just amazing as far as understanding how fans are coming up. But I want Dan in Harleysville to get a voice in here. Dan, good morning. You're on the John Kincaid Show. How are you today?
Hey, good. Yeah, how you doing? I guess as far as the team that I have, I guess, faith in going forward in Philadelphia, I mean, I think you have to say the Flyers only because they've shown progression every year to get better and better and better. I don't have any faith in the Eagles with their general manager and until you trade Ben Simmons.
Even based on all the success the Eagles have had, you're literally thinking this year is like the new normal?
Yeah, because Howie Roseman's good year when they won the Super Bowl, that's the anomaly. The being bad isn't the anomaly. That's the anomaly where he was good. He's been dreadful at drafting, and his strength, wink, wink, salary cap strength, they're in salary cap hell right now. So what's he good at? If somebody could point to me and say, what is Howie good at?
I asked that earlier in the week. I said, if Jeffrey Lurie, and thank you for your call, if Jeffrey Lurie asked that question to him at his exit interview for the year, I would imagine that would have been a hard question for Howie Roseman.
What would you say you do here?
If I was Howie, I would say I'm great at making trades. And that's
it. He really does do a good job.
Yeah, that's the one thing he does well.
But, yeah, I think that's a myth. I think the year that they won the Super Bowl, he was great. Gennard Avery for a fourth-round pick.
I gotcha.
Well,
making deals like that? I mean,
yeah, Darius Slay was good. I'll be maybe it's just I'm blinded
how
by
about
my
Jay Ajayi.
Well, yeah, Jay Ajayi, Brandon Brooks, Darius Slay.
Brandon Brooks was a signing. It was just a free agent signing.
I think you also have to look at the trades though that he didn't make. I mean, we saw what it took to get DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, we saw what it took, you know, for some of these guys that were out there to be gotten, Stephon Diggs. I mean, you know, there could have been trades that could have been made that could have severely helped this team.
I mean, yeah, it would have been what? Jalen Hurts and basically Miles Sanders, when you think about it, for DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay.
Would you have done that? I think a lot of people would have.
I think you would have. Yeah, I think you would have. I think you would have.
I think he's got really good moves, like right. as you talked about, but they were a long time ago. Sans the Darius Slay move. And he's got bad ones.
Did you say sans?
Yeah. Oh, that's a parchment word.
God, you're fancy.
He is.
You are fancy. Hey, be sure to be listening at 8 o'clock today. Remember, it's your chance to win $500 by the Fanatics FU money. Yeah, it's for you from us. Get it? For you from us. What do you get your mind out of the gutter? Jamie Lynch, I'm seeing quickly. He knows the psychology of fandom. He knows what it's like to be a fan. But what do you do when your team is not playing? Let's go to the linchpin.
This is the linchpin.
When your team's not playing,
you got to pick a team.
I cannot. I know people that are, to me, you would talk about like people that are psycho.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have no interest. I have no rooting.
How?
Interest. I'm just watching the game.
You gotta have an invested interest.
Good guy, bad guy.
Yeah,
there's
six games this weekend. Stake your claim, people. Don't be a coward. Pick your team and root for them.
Get off that betting app, by the way. I've seen you perusing quite a bit this morning.
Yeah, I was looking at the lines.
You've been checking that out.
I am officially staking my claim behind the Buffalo Bills. They are the team I am pulling for in these playoffs. I saw a clip from yesterday that reminded me of the 2017 Eagles. It was Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, and you know, a lot of the Bills dancing on the field to MC Hammer. And they were loose and they were fun and they know they're good. And they, as Chris Long said on Twitter, oh, they got the juice now. It reminded me of the Eagles listening to Meek Mill on the field. They're good. They know it. They're fun. And They're loose.
You're also using the Sean McDermott thing.
Yeah, Sean McDermott graduated from my high school, right. So I have ties there. My wife grew up not far from there. You know, I have a picture of her in a Jim Kelly full uniform thing from when she was like 5 years old. And they're just a fun team to root for. I don't understand how people can't have somebody that they have some kind of rooting interest or stake in these playoffs.
Bob, do you have a team that you are saying, okay, we're not seeing the Eagles in the postseason. There's a team that I'm rooting for to win the Super Bowl.
I usually don't, but here's what I do do.
You also eat your Snickers like a cereal.
Here's
killer.
What I do do.
By the way, my old teammates were all over our Instagram. Folks from my stage thinking, okay, he's a cereal killer.
Yeah, where are the bodies buried?
Yeah, my daughter actually said something yesterday. No, I'm serious. She had a dentist appointment, and we're driving from the dentist appointment. She's like, oh, by the way, you eating a Snickers bar on Instagram today? And I was like, yeah, she goes, yeah, the comments were really weird. And I'm like,
by the way, a lot of them were from my former teammates.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, I'm like, sorry, that's really just what your dad does for a living. I don't know what to tell you. You know, I feel bad.
You wouldn't have.
Excellent use of social media.
But yeah.
Usually, are you staking your claim to a team you want to see win the Super Bowl?
I don't usually. Here's what I do. I love, and I told you guys this before, the first weekend of NFL playoffs is one of my favorite weekends in sports. So I like to sit back and watch those games and then say, ooh, they're fun.
Okay.
But this year, I'm going into a team similar to Jamie that I want to see do well, and it's Cleveland, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, you know what? Eddie Stefanski and I obviously are very good friends, and we talk all the time, I've been following Kevin's career
forever.
Yeah,
so you got a personal tie.
So there's a little personal tie, but
That's good.
I like the way they play. I do. I find them fun to watch. And that's my... So if I'm going to hook on to a team, which is weird for me, it is the Cleveland Browns this year.
Egan, have you picked a team that you are on board with?
Well, real quick, to go kind of back to something you guys talked about, which is people that are psycho when they say, oh, I don't care. There's a commercial going around. I don't know if you guys have seen it, where two guys show up and one of them goes, hey, who's playing? And the guy goes, oh, does it matter? And they're, you know, drinking something.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous to me.
And yeah, and I'm like, oh my God, it's so tone deaf. Because I think, yeah, you need a rooting interest. I got to go Cleveland too. It's just a sad
team, really.
It's a sad fan base.
Do you know, you see what's going on here? We relate to the sufferers.
Absolutely.
See, Buffalo and Cleveland and both have suffered in this league.
See, now I'm going also, Jamie, I will join you in I'm rooting for Buffalo.
Hell yeah.
I picked Buffalo on my national show before the year to go to the Super Bowl.
Nice. Nice
and
call.
And to lose.
To Green
Bay.
That's
what they do when they go to Super Bowl.
I picked them to lose. No, I picked them to lose the Super Bowl to Minnesota.
Where's Scotty Norwood?
To Minnesota. So I would like to at least be half right.
Yeah.
I saw that.
And look,
coming.
Josh Allen, there's...
Plus,
you know,
Andy got his last year.
Yeah. There's comparisons between Wentz and Allen.
Yes.
That I find very interesting.
And by the way, as we see Josh Allen go along, we'll talk about it in the coming weeks. There's a lot of similarities as far as the heat he was taking, the criticism he was taking, and then now this year he's a golden boy.
It's weird. They got this guy named Stephon Diggs.
It really helps.
And he's really good at catching footballs.
It really helps.
He's a good look at why you have to let quarterbacks develop sometimes. Because when I came in here today, we had the overnight show of National ESPN. They had somebody on talking about if the Dolphins move on from Tua.
What?
Exactly. That was my reaction.
Well,
are you serious?
But they already said he's the starter next year.
Well, but that's the day and age we live in. It's instant gratification. If you're not the guy, we've got to move on.
I just don't understand wasting the oxygen when an organization tells you our starting quarterback, we've already named it, next year is Tua. They're still the debate shows going. Are the Dolphins going to draft a quarterback? They've given you the answer.
Do you believe them?
Yes, I do. I don't.
I mean, if Justin Fields is sitting there at 3 for them, if they have Justin Fields,
I think they
ranked,
trade out. They can't do that.
I don't see how you can do that. You've made him your guy.
Yeah, but you could get probably a first back for Tua. I don't think they're going to. But I'm just saying,
not based on what we've seen. Can you?
Maybe a late first.
If people are questioning Jalen Hurts, you better be questioning Tua.
Well, yeah, because Tua, what was he taking, number 2 overall?
He was like 10th.
Okay.
To
me, Tua always reeked of a guy that was going to be a great college player but didn't transition well.
You may not always need a new water heater, but when you do, Bradford White would be a great, great choice for your water heater. Check out Bradford White. Listen to a guy like Jaws. All right, we have we would do a thing sometimes just to try previously on the Jonk and Kidja, just play games sometimes. Just short games, little fun games that you can play along in the car, or whether you're listening on the app, or you're listening home, you're watching on YouTube. And I was told yesterday by a friend of mine that Bob Cooney may be my match, and I can recite jingles, TV theme songs, like I know the song, I know the words, and those type of things.
Yeah.
So I saw Fox last night is bringing back Name That Tune.
Yes. The first show was last night, I think,
which these guys would never even have seen.
No.
So here we go.
No, we have Shazam.
It's Bob Cooney versus John Kincaid today in Name That Tune. Pat Egan will play a snippet of a TV theme song. As soon as we know it, we buzz in. Like, we give it the
Should
yell.
We turn our mics off and the first one to turn it on and
can, yes. can I hear
answer?
Your, can I hear your buzzers if you were to do one?
Okay,
your stakes,
so
Bob.
Roll on, Bob.
Okay, so let's get this thing going. We turn off our mics here and we wait for Patty to play number one. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, all of a sudden.
I think
sudden,
you got to let it go
one?
Until we buzz
I can't.
In.
Yeah, I can't.
Oh, you can't go any further?
Try it again.
There's words then. Try it one more time.
Wow. This game's off to a rumbling
it.
Start.
I love it.
What is it?
Yeah, no clue.
You got to, yeah, there you go. Breaking Bad. Guys, come
yeah.
on.
Oh, wait a minute. That what? Is.
I knew that.
That.
Is.
Yes.
You knew it.
Yeah. yeah. You guys are sitting there pounding your chest about being his name that
you guys, this is the first I've even heard of this. I thought we were doing like game shows back.
Have you watched Breaking Bad?
No.
A first episode.
You haven't?
You did not?
I haven't, no.
I can't believe that was bad on my part. That was terrible.
Perhaps the greatest show ever.
No. Yeah, that's my favorite.
Some people will say, and I'm one of them.
Yeah, I agree with Jamie. We'll move on. Let's see if you do better with this one.
Different Strokes.
Correct.
Come on, Bob. Okay. I expected better from you.
I thought Bob would have had
I
that
didn't.
One. Okay.
You didn't buzz in, though. You have to buzz in first.
I have to buzz in.
Yeah, or you're disqualified. Psst.
Okay, go on. Facts of Life.
No.
Yeah. Facts of Life.
Bob, you stink.
You take the
No,
good,
I had
take
it.
The bad,
yeah,
you
take them both in there. You have the facts of life.
I got it, yeah.
Was that the Trudy one?
Not Tootie.
Or Tootie.
Yes. There's
Tootie.
A time you and gotta Joe. Know you're going growing up.
Joe was the kind of hot one?
Joe, no.
She was like the rough one,
no,
but she was hot.
Blair was the hot one.
Blair was supposed
to.
And okay. Mrs. What's her
Mrs.
face?
Mrs. Garrett.
Garrett, yeah.
Yeah, Mrs. Garrett.
What's up, Mrs. Garrett?
Go on.
Aw.
Bob, you stink.
I can't.
Oh,
you
gotta, it's a rare condition that, yeah. in this day and age to read any good news on a newspaper page. All right?
Come on, Bob.
I'm
better.
Well, it doesn't help that John picked them.
Bob, I'll tell you what. Bob, tell me, give me one off air that you're going to know, okay?
Come on.
Here we go.
I hate losing, too. This is going to...
Come on!
Golden Girls. I knew that one, yes.
Thank you for being a friend.
Yeah.
Down the road and back again.
It's one of the most famous ever.
Okay, go on.
Bob, we got it a half a second before
Bob.
Me.
You're embarrassing
Just
us.
No, your heart is true.
No, I'm embarrassing me, not you.
You're a pal and a confidant.
You're a pal and a confidant. All right, we'll move on, though.
Come on.
Knight Rider.
Bob! Do you need a phone,
friend? I don't
know
what to say. I need Jamie's help.
I'm better at this than you.
Well, then let's go.
I never bragged about it. You guys threw me into a game.
You were walking around the office saying how great you were. You'd body.
I never said that.
Yes, you did.
I did not. I'll come in there and body you in a second.
Mark from Mark and Mindy.
I didn't have
that. That's good. I knew that one, yeah.
Oh, am I supposed to say it if I know?
I had that one.
Yeah. I'm supposed to say it?
I think I got one that Bob's going to know.
Okay. Cheers!
And this is going to be the last one we do.
Okay.
Thank God.
Come on, Bob. Oh, I got you.
Go.
Sex in the City.
There you go.
I never once watched
Sex in the City.
It's not bad. I haven't watched like the whole series, but my wife loves it.
You were banned from using a urinal. For a year.
It's coming back on HBO Max, but the slutty one isn't a part of it.
Samantha.
Okay, the one girl. The girl who died on Melrose Place. That was one of the Sex and the City girls.
Charlotte?
She died in the pool. Kristen Davis. Yeah, she died in the pool on Melrose Place.
Did she? I never watched that.
You never watched it? Well, you're too young for Melrose. Time.
No, it was like right when I was kind of like late grade school.
Andrew Shue. Elizabeth Brown.
I watched a little 90210. I never got into the Melrose Place.
I could not tell you. I just know that there were Dylan and...
Yes.
Yeah. Somebody.
And
Jason Priestley guy. But
yeah, Walsh. Melrose. Their last name was
Brendan
Walsh. Brendan Walsh. Yeah.
Hey.
And his sister was
the bitch. Shannon Doherty.
Yeah.
Why did you call her that? Yeah.
Well, in the show, she was a bitch.
They say in real life, it's well known.
When Vanessa Marcel joined that show, I think she went to the writers and said, I want to send a little message to John because she was Gina Kincaid.
Oh. Yeah, I don't think that happened.
I think it was a little message. You money, your chance to win $500 coming up at the top of the hour.
I'm done for the rest of the
John Kincaid show. All right,
he's going to call out sick.
It's time for Pat Egan to take the wheel.
Hello.
I love this.
Okay. We'll go with a couple days ago on this very show, we brought two people together in an unlikely friendship. The beat writer and the weatherman, which, yes, sounds exactly like a Hallmark movie, but they forged a friendship, and now I know why Bob wanted to be followed by Adam Joseph oh so badly. It's because Bush Beer tweeted out the hashtag Bush Snow Day is back. It's a genius promotion by the company for places like Philadelphia. The way this promotion works is for every inch of snow that hits your area, Bush is taking $1 off the price tag. And for a guy like Bob, who has a show dedicated to drinking beer,
Beers with Bob Tuesday nights,
this is a promotion you can get behind. Sources tell me that Bob has been blowing up Adam Joseph's DMs asking about snow totals for storms that aren't even on the radar. This could lead to pretty wild snow days in the Cooney household.
I love you.
But there is a catch. You have to pay full price and then send in a rebate. That's not going to stop Bob from drinking and driving his snowblower.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
So if you hear the excitement in Bob's voice when we're rumored to get snow, now you know why.
Wow.
We formed a friendship.
You're bonding over, what do you think you're bonding over?
The Doppler?
Yeah, that's probably it'll be the Doppler. His partner Carl's a huge 97.5 The Fanatic guy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Adam was telling me.
Really?
Listens all the time. Yeah.
So
we're going to have Adam in. We're going to sit outside. He's going to cut John's hair, and Jamie and I are going to drink.
It does seem like, I'm just going to say, from social media at least, Adam's doing everything in that house. So, Carl.
Carl's got to step up a little bit. It seems
like Adam does everything.
He's watching sports.
I'm just saying it to you. Just saying it.
Pick
it up, Carl.
We will move on. We will move on to the last story today. As I skip some stuff here, we're going to go for this one. We've talked about pastors switching careers. That's not it. Sorry, wrong one.
You're not?
Sometimes God just spends a little more time on a particular child, and sometimes those children return to the flock.
But what if God was one of us, Pat?
Exactly. Just a stranger on a bus. That's what Nicole Mitchell did. Despite being a dime, she became a pastor, preaching the good book with her three children and her husband. But when the church actually had the audacity to edit her sermons and keep the part about her being bisexual out of it, then suddenly Mitchell found herself moving farther away from the church. But like luckily for Pastor Mitchell, she found a new church where they're accepting of her and all her horniness, the Church of OnlyFans. Mitchell left the church, moved to California, and have done what so many have done. They hopped on the internet to stimulate the masses for their stimulus checks. Mitchell, who I just posted a photo of on our Twitter account at JK Show, at 975 JK Show, said that she was able to make over $100,000 a month. But it wasn't just from the pics, because, guys, she's a Renaissance woman. She's also a life coach and a stripper, multifaceted. So, she also mentioned that she did all of this with three kids at home while going through a divorce. That's right, her husband decided to let that sexual tiger free.
What?
At that kind of money? So, Nicole Mitchell, that's a Nicole with a K, the K is for kinky, is single and available and thanking the Lord for her career switch. She said, quote, I feel liberated. I was living a lie. It's like being an Eagles fan in Atlanta, and after 20 years, you're able to come home. I'd also like to add that someone owes me...
She said that, actually.
She did, and I'd like to add that someone owes me $15 because I had to pony up to do some... some research, if you will.
You mentioned it, though, partner. He likes to slap around the beef.
Well, I wondered where Bob's lotion had disappeared to.
Oh, wow.
Now I know.
She's not hard to look at.
Man.
No, she's gorgeous.
Did you check it out, John?
I did not.
Oh. You're allowed to.
At 975 JK Show.
Your wife's 750 miles away.
I'm at 975 The Fanatic.
Yeah, you got to go at 975 JK Show.
I don't want to. Oh. Wow.
I could send them down a spiral. John's going to go to church Saturday and Sunday.
Wow. That is unbelievable.
Yeah, now you know why.
Is she interned here, you said?
I need $5 from each of you.
That's terrible.
I'll give you the login.
I got to love that. More of Pat Egan at any time during the show. You just don't know when it's going to be. You don't know when it'll be landing in your lap. I know this. You want to win $500? You're going to have your chance after the top of the hour. And then you're going to have your chance 7 times a day with Fanatics FU money coming your way. So we've got that. Plus, in the 8 o'clock hour, I have a feeling you talked about religion there. I think somebody made a deal with the devil. I'll make the case next. First half of the John Kincaid Show in the books. Stick around. Rehydrate. Get yourself stretched out. Second half's coming your way next on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Pro football playoffs are this weekend, and it'll be even more exciting than it normally is because I signed up for BetMGM, and I think you should too. Check out this special offer for new customers. Sign up right now. Use the bonus code PATEGAN100. That's all one word, PATEGAN100. And when you make a $1 moneyline wager on any playoff game, and the team you bet on scores a touchdown, you'll win $100, regardless of your bet's outcome. It's an offer too good to pass up. Experience big games like never before with the king of sportsbooks' innovative parlay selection features, which I was using last night. They also have boosted odds specials. I also used them last night. And daily promotions, so much more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. When you do, don't forget, use the bonus code PATEGAN100. That code will get you $100 in free bets if the team you bet on scores a touchdown this either Saturday or Sunday. BetMGM is the place to bet on with confidence on your favorite sports all year long. BetMGM in partnership with Hollywood Casino Morgantown. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older. Pennsylvania only. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The 8 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. That 8 a.m. hour is brought to you by our friends at Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. I want you to visit paworkinjury.com if you need their fine services. We have told you all week long to be here at 8 o'clock on Friday morning. And we're going to need you to be here at 8 o'clock. And then we're going to need you here at 10. We're going to need you here at noon. But this is what's important. You want an opportunity to win yourself some cash. This is your chance to win $500 of FU money. It's from us, for you, and all you have to do is this. Follow the directions. Text the word HOST, H-O-S-T, HOST, to 45911, or enter it on the 97.5 The Fanatic app, or at 975thefanatic.com. The word again is HOST, H-O-S-T. One winner will be selected at random nationally, is going to win $500. Everyone that enters on our app or our website are going to be qualified. So this is important. Everybody that enters is going to be qualified for a $10,000 grand prize. So at the very least, you want to make sure you've got your ticket for that, your entry. Get complete rules for this company-wide contest at 975thefanatic.com. And please remember, never text and drive. So get the entry in today. Get the first entry in today so you know you're in the hopper for the $10,000 grand prize. Host to 45911 or enter it at the 97.5 The Fanatic app or at 975thefanatic.com. Good luck. We're all counting on you. For those watching on Twitch this morning, twitch.tv, DJ Bon Bon doing another spectacular job. The 91L says, does Kincaid circle the block before he parks? I don't believe I'm like Meek Mill at all, so I don't believe that. I don't believe that's the case. Even though I usually go the exact same way. If a serial killer wanted to take me out,
it's easy.
I'm ritual.
Yeah,
I'm ritual boy.
Who okay. is it?
So I follow. Are you?
Yeah, but like what?
You don't change things up?
No, but why would I? Is somebody going to put a hit on me? Like, why would I? Why would I go, you know, I mean, the straight line, that was really easy. Let me just make it really difficult and go in a zigzag
formation.
Well,
I know a lot of people who take different ways to work, who choose to
depending
take
on traffic.
Or take a turn. I don't have traffic at 4:30 in the morning.
No, I'm a routine guy.
Wiki Man says bald guys wearing visors. That's a no-go, Bob.
Not bald.
He said, I would know because I'm bald as a baby. He says,
it's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
We'll see if it does. All right, as we begin this 8 o'clock hour, I'm going to put a proposal to you. And I ask you to, especially those of faith, to listen along closely. February 4th, 2018, you were bargaining that morning, that afternoon. You were bargaining. The Eagles were getting ready to play in the Super Bowl against Tom Brady and the mighty Patriots. It had been an incredible run. But you were bargaining. I already told you the other day on this show that February 3rd, I went to Saturday afternoon Mass right off the Vegas Strip and went to Mass. And I wrote in the guest book of the church, I wrote the name of every one of my uncles and my dad and everybody in my family who had been an Eagles fan, who made me an Eagles fan, who had passed. I put their names all in and implored them all to help bring home an Eagles victory. So I was bargaining, and I know you were bargaining too. Come on, please, let this happen. Well, I think somebody, I'm convinced by the way things have gone for the Eagles, I'm convinced somebody made a deal with the devil that day. They didn't do it in church. They made a deal with the devil. So did someone make a deal with the devil to say, get this albatross off our back. Let the Eagles win the Super Bowl, and I will sell the soul of this franchise so we go down into the proverbial crapper. Could it have been Doug? Doug Peterson winning a Super Bowl against Bill Belichick, highly unlikely. Was it Howie Roseman, who had been redeemed after being exiled to the wrong side of the building by Chip Kelly? Could it have been Jeffrey Lurie? He wanted that trophy very, very much. Or was it one of you in our listening audience? Who made the stinking deal with the devil? Because somebody did.
The devil.
I only wonder, because right now, watching this team this year, the Eagles' chariot appears to be turning back into a pumpkin. And from the sounds of things, it's rotting from the inside. Who's to blame? If you want to jump in on the phones, you can too. It's 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan. Bob, isn't it strange that the greatest moment in franchise history now appears to be, I mean, Eagles are looking like a laughingstock at the moment with the way they're handling their internal business. It's not a strange concept that this could have happened.
No, it's not. And if you had to pick one, who did it?
Who did it? Or was it somebody in the fan base? One of you weasels out there that did this?
I'll tell you what. I would say it's the majority of everyone that you just laid out. I would say it's the majority of the fan base. It wouldn't surprise me if Jeffrey Lurie did it. It wouldn't surprise me if Doug Peterson said, just give me one. It'll give me security for a long time if I get a Super Bowl. Howie Roseman, oh, are you kidding? I look like the reincarnation of God. Now that I got this team back to a Super Bowl and turn this all around as quickly as I did. I mean, Jamie Lynch said, he would take 10 years of crap football.
I did.
Just for a Super Bowl. Because he resigned himself to the fact at 38 years old that he was never going to see the Eagles win a Super Bowl.
Well, that is correct. It might be my fault.
Well, no, I'm going to take more blame. I'm going to take more blame.
What did I say? It's the majority. Everybody has a hand.
I flat out said I would never ask for a championship again. I would never invoke, can you help us out here, guys?
Throw me a bone.
Just could we see a championship? Could this, because it was the only one, honestly, I'd already seen two Phillies World Series wins in my lifetime.
Right.
I'd seen a Sixers parade, and I was at it. And as a young boy, I was a Flyers fan, and at the time, I wasn't a Flyers fan when that Super Bowl went down. So, to me, it was always going to be, the Eagles winning the Super Bowl is the most important thing.
Right.
I kissed my daughter.
Absolutely.
I kissed. Now, when Skylar, you kiss her goodnight every night, right?
Yeah.
Olivia's 17. Every night of her life, when we'd say prayers, time to go to bed, I said to her, dream of your daddy, your puppy dogs, and the Eagles winning the Super Bowl.
every night.
Wow.
And it was our thing. The Eagles win in the Super Bowl. What are you dreaming about? Dad, the Eagles win in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And she saw it at 14. But I'm maybe to blame.
Yeah. I would sign up for that deal 10 times out of 10. I would do it today if you gave it to me. It's like
what, Bob's, the 10 years of misery?
Yeah. Yeah. I would. Because I was in that low of a place where I actually believed I was never going to see one. So I, at that point, what's 10 years? I had suffered for 37 years. What's 10 more?
You do that deal every single day, twice on Sunday. I'm not going to apologize for it. I don't care. I have a DVD right now where I can pop in at any moment, watch my team win a championship. I didn't have that.
And feel it.
Yes.
I,
when my child was born, I kid you not, this is a true story. When my child was born and it was getting to the point, you know, because labor can be, you know, long, but it was getting to the point where he's coming in about an hour or two, I went on YouTube, I brought up the Super Bowl, I wanted my kid coming out watching the Eagles winning the Super Bowl.
That's a true story. Yeah.
I couldn't do that before.
And your bride was fine with that.
She's in extreme pain. She wasn't really paying attention. It was over on my tablet.
The epidural kicked in. She didn't really care.
No, but the way that we ended up having a kid was we were at a Temple football game in September and she was holding one of our...
Is this going to get real deep?
Our friend's kids, and she said, when can we have one? And I jokingly said, when the Eagles win the Super Bowl. And then they won the Super Bowl and he came out, you know, no personal questions. But yeah, so, but I couldn't do that beforehand. You always do that deal. Always.
Now that I've seen the Eagles win the Super Bowl, it's not the I can die a happy man. Because if the rest of my life, hopefully I'm going to have 35, 40 more years minimum, that I can say, hold up a card and say, I can die a happy man. But I know, I feel complete as a sports fan.
Really?
I've seen it happen. See, I've seen every one of my teams win a championship.
Right, right.
Not many people can check that box.
No, and look, if there was one team, if you were, I think if you took almost all Philadelphia fans and said one team can win a championship, who would it be? They would go Eagles.
It was
because their hearts are invested so greatly. I kind of sit back. This is my personality, and you guys all know this. I sit back and observe either the euphoria or the devastation of every season and watch how people react because I just don't allow myself to get there all that much. So I watched and I saw people say, this is the greatest. This is great. I'm satisfied. Like you just said, John. And I thought to myself, really? Because if you have a taste of it, it's going to heighten that you're going to want another one.
But losses haven't hurt as much since.
Really?
Agreed.
This past year was hell. This is as bad of a year as the Dream Team, as some early 90s. It didn't hurt as much. I'm not as miserable. And I don't consider myself a weak fan for that mentality. There was a sense of peace that came with the Super Bowl.
I mean, think about Andy Reid. And I love Andy Reid. But Andy Reid winning a Super Bowl last year doesn't have the same effect on this city had we not won a Super Bowl. You win a Super Bowl, and it's kind of like when you break up with a long-term girlfriend. You can go to a wedding and have a good time if you're the first one to get married. But if you're watching your long-term girlfriend get married and you're still single, you're miserable. We were the first one to get married. It's fine. We don't care about our ex. We're happy for him, right? But if we had never won a Super Bowl, Andy Reid winning in the Super Bowl in Kansas City, we are miserable.
It would not have been something that this town would have been happy with.
I cheered for Andy Reid last year.
Exactly.
Because of the Eagles winning.
Yes, 100%. Because of the Eagles already winning.
Yeah, I didn't care.
See, this is funny to me. So Eagles fans will say, no, we don't get as upset and all that stuff because they won the Super Bowl. How long does that hold on for? And I ask this for a specific reason.
It's probably running out.
Okay. Because we make fun of other cities that say, oh, yeah, but we have four Super Bowls. We have it. Well, okay, are we about to be made fun of because we're not getting hurt by losses?
Nah, 7 to 10 years.
We won a Super Bowl 3 years ago.
I'm here to tell you right now, we don't care.
Let me tell you something.
We don't care.
I can tell you this. More friends of mine who are fans of other teams, they made fun of one thing about the Eagles winning the Super Bowl.
The horse poop eater.
No. The statue of Doug and Foles in the studio, in the stadium.
Yeah.
They literally thought that was high humor.
Yeah, but down in Atlanta, they have a statue of the guy that was pumping crowd noise in. So there is none up there.
In fact, there's an eagle in front of the Falcons Stadium.
Is it an eagle?
It looks like an eagle. If you showed people the sculpture that Arthur Blank paid a fortune for, show it to people and say, what bird is this? There are a million people. 90% of people would say it's an eagle before they'd say it was a falcon. You got to pull it up.
Yeah, Jamie's.
And by the way, they're in Atlanta this year.
The Eagles are.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a lot of good away games.
We may make that road trip. You never know. Maybe be able to do that. Before we get into more of this nonsense, let's get on over to Cooney's Corner.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Now, we're expected to know when you've got young legs, you have young guys who can carry you. That's what we're expected to know, Bob Cooney, but it doesn't appear that's necessarily the case with the Sixers.
It doesn't. And when we talk about young stars carrying a team to a championship, the person that probably is most likely to do it is one that doesn't roll off our tongue as quickly. And that's Flyers goalie Carter Hart. I honestly think Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, Alec Bohm, let the list go on. It used to be Carson Wentz. I think that the young star that is most likely, and it ties into what you talked about earlier, John, the young star that's most likely to carry one of our city teams to a championship first, in my eyes, is Carter Hart.
He's special.
I think this kid is just unbelievably special. And, you know, I love watching players that are really, really good and have a chance to become great. And sometimes it's because they're all over the place. Allen Iverson, he's everywhere, he's all this. Carter Hart does it in a way that's just so smooth and so simple. It's like watching Freddie Couples hit a golf ball. It's like, oh, it doesn't even look like there's club speed, but it's just boom. The way this guy plays the game, it's just, oh, he's right there. Oh, my God, great scoring chance. No, he's right there. He's going to become, to other teams, the most aggravating goalie in the league because he is effortlessly so good. I am not kidding, and I'm not making this a hot take at all. I think he is the next young star to carry a team to a championship in this city.
I got to tell you this, watching from afar, and now, as I said, I'm willing to extend the olive branch and become a Flyers fan again. But I would watch. And Carter Hart just does seem... he seems special. He's got it.
He's never rattled. And for somebody that young to be so composed between the pipes and just always be in the right position, his angles are always right. Like, he just doesn't...
he seems charming, too.
Yeah. And he's been seeing a sports psychologist since, I believe, he was 11 years old.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, he's been seeing a sports psychologist since
what,
he was...
his parents paid for that or something?
I assume so, yeah. Really? They must have known he was special.
Or he got a sponsor. Oh.
They must have known he had real NHL potential.
Really?
They must... wow. I would think, unless that's just something that was important to them. So he has a whole routine. Like, when you watch him squirt the water bottle, the thing he does is he watches each droplet down to hit the ice to get his eyes right. Like, this kid...
so he may be OCD, too. I have rituals like that.
Yeah, I think a lot's made out of that, though. Like people fall in love with the water bottle thing. It kind of reminds you of in Bull Durham when he goes, you can do that if you win 20 games, but if you don't, you're just gross.
He's just so composed and put together to me at such a young age. It's impressive. And then you see the play. I mean, it jumps off the ice at you.
That's the thing you hear most about him. And that was back when... 2 years ago when he was just in camp was this kid is beyond his years. Like, he just does not act the age.
I saw him yesterday in a video where he gave his reverse jersey to a young boy fighting cancer.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to his jersey number.
Oh, my gosh.
His jersey number was originally 79. He found out a kid had bought his jersey, same thing, right? I think he was battling cancer. And they asked him if he wanted to change his number to a particular, you know, a normal goalie number in the 30s. And he said no because of that kid.
That's amazing.
What 20-year-old or 19-year-old does that?
Yeah, the composure that he plays with is like Bernie Perron, and you and I remember this, John.
Absolutely.
He's the best goalie in Flyers history, but he was flamboyant. His kick saves.
Oh, yes.
His, like, the way he played goalie was at a different level at that time, and it was flamboyant. It was noticeable. Great save. Kick save, Perron. It was...
kick save and a beauty.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. This kid is just like... smooth as, and he makes great saves, but he's just smooth as can be. I honestly think this is a guy you build around for 15 years.
Yeah, I have a buddy who's a fan of one of the other teams in the division who texted me, big hockey fan, and just said, I'm terrified of this kid.
There you go. That's good to have as a Flyer, too. NJM Insurance has been ranked number one in the nation in customer satisfaction with the auto insurance claims experience, according to J.D. Power. Visit NJM.com for your free quote today. That's NJM.com. Greatly appreciate Vic from Florida checking in. Vic, good morning. Vic, are we bothering you in a business meeting? Vic, that wasn't good. That wasn't good, Vic.
Took till Friday.
That wasn't good. That was the first bad call. But that wasn't. I mean, Vic got somebody came into Vic's office.
He got sidetracked.
And he got sidetracked.
Yeah.
Somebody came into the office.
He's closing a deal.
Just walked. Yeah, I'm hoping.
He saw the prices of Bitcoin today and he was like, I got to go.
I can tell you this is that I'm very excited. I said I will extend the olive branch maybe to really dive in and be a.
So you're not fully back yet.
No, I'm not back yet. I haven't been invited back yet. I got to tell you is that I was dismissed from the organization.
Yeah, yeah. What is the game plan on this? Because you've been teasing it an
well,
awful
I'm
lot.
Say flat and out, I have the Flyers are starting a season two, May 11th, 1988.
I've heard the
Mike
date.
Mike Keenan walked out the door. I walked out the door.
And guys are walking around naked.
And I've never been back. And I've never been back as a fan.
But as a fan, you
as
checked
a fan,
out.
Never yeah. been back.
So
and I love hockey. I worked in the NHL after that. I will tell you this. And some people have sent me emails this week going, I remember what you did down in Atlanta on the television and on the radio and everything when the Flyers would come to town.
Oh, you lived in Atlanta?
In the arena, I would hold up a literal number because they would take my hits and put them up on the big screen. And I asked Bob Hartley one time during an interview on the bench during the game, Bob, do you know what like 18,000 or 18,947 is? What the hell are you asking me? I said, that's the amount of days it's been since the Flyers have won the Stanley Cup. I had like the number of days and they would have it in the, and the whole arena would then roar in approval.
All 12 of them.
And the TV, right? No, we never had a problem with that. As I said, I had to explain this morning, outdrew Boston, Chicago, and New Jersey last 3 years as a franchise.
Uh-huh.
So no problem with that.
Your beef with the Flyers is they got rid of Keenan.
No, and then they got rid of me because I would not dismiss my relationship with Mike Keenan.
So that's the reason for your dismissal by the Flyers.
I said I would not stop having a relationship with Mike Keenan.
I respect that loyalty, and I respect even more the fact that you're holding a grudge, but you might.
I was told that it was stupidity from Keenan after the fact. It was stupidity on my part.
1988?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm leaning way on the side of stupidity.
No, at the time, I should have just said, okay.
Oh, at the time? No, I respect your loyalty.
No. He said it was stupidity.
Well, and the problem is, and you overplayed your hand because you were loyal to him, and clearly he was not loyal to you.
No, what I said was, look flat out. I said, it can or won't. It was can or won't. You can't? I said, I can't. And I said, I can't not have a relationship with him.
Well, can Provorov and Carter Hart be the guys that bring you back?
I think you can. Yes, I think you can. I think you can. I'll tell you this. If there was somebody who was going to draw me back to the table, it's Carter Hart. And then yesterday, I heard Anthony Gargano with Alain Vigneault.
Oh, he's great.
AV's awesome.
There is a energy about that man
that
I can definitely buy into.
Oh, yeah.
So I want to make this happen. And I've got a few more days to make it happen. I got next week.
You know what we got to do? We got to get you on a walk through Old City with Elaine. He said that's what he liked most about coming to Philly.
And I love walking.
He walked Old City and he took in all the history and he admired the city and he loves it. We got to get you on a walk with Elaine.
Well, I already love this city. I just have to, and Elaine will win you over. I heard that interview with Cuz yesterday and it made me connect with him. And I've heard him interviewed before. But that conversation, and I love the decisiveness. They're not just trying to take the next step. They're trying to win the Stanley Cup.
Here's what we have to do.
Yes.
We need to bring Gritty in here, or outside, rather.
Okay.
I'm not kidding on this. We need to do, if you're okay getting your hair wet, a Flyers baptism with you.
I'm fine.
You need to be baptized
by Gritty. I'm in.
All right? We get that mane, that coif that you so love.
It's a great idea.
It's going to get wet. We are baptizing you, put a jersey on you, Gritty baptize you, and then you're fully accepted.
Okay. If Gritty is in, by the way, just to show the kindness that I've shown and that I've tried to bury the hatchet, I came back to home bringing some gifts a few weeks ago, and Christina got a Sixers hat, wool cap to be able to put on when it's really cold, and a a little gritty doll.
I got to get Skylar a gritty doll.
Little gritty doll for Olivia.
That's great.
Welcome back, Carr.
So there you go.
Good job, Bob. Bob got one, guys. Bob got one.
Yes. All right, we've got so much coming on. Now, remember, Shaquille O'Neal joins us at 9:10, so you don't want to miss any of that. We're going to have a lot of fun with Shaq. Shaq is very interested to get to know Bob, Jamie, and Egan. Very interested to know if you guys are up to the challenge of dealing with me on a daily basis. So we're going to get to that. That's coming up. You don't want to miss that, so be around for that. Plus, if you wanted to get a phone call in, are you to blame? Are you to blame for the deal with the devil? 610-632-0975. It's the John Kincaid Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. When I was coming home, one of the biggest thrills for me was being able to bet legally. When I was in Philadelphia before, the only way you could bet was illegally. Now, I've got the Parx Casino mobile app right on my phone. So that gives me the opportunity to be able to place wagers anytime that I wish. And I love that because they make it convenient. They make it convenient to deposit money. And the beautiful Parx Casino is a place where I know I can find them. I feel like I'm doing business locally with a hometown crew. I also love Buffalo and Indianapolis tomorrow. Buffalo, 6.5-point favorite. I got to tell you, that's one that I'm going to be picking. That's one that I'm going to be using. And the Parx Casino app gives you that home field advantage. You feel like you're doing business with the hometown teams. You bet online with the name you trust. The Parx Casino Sportsbook app. Easy deposits, great odds, new customers only. Sign up now. Get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Download the app or go to parxcasino.com/PA and use the promo code FANATIC. Your risk-free bet will be refunded in site credit. See website and terms and conditions right there for you. Bet with the home team. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Thanks for hanging out with the John Kincaid Show. 97.5 The Fanatic. It is going to be a amazing Friday, and Shaquille O'Neal joins us at 9:10, so don't miss that. We'll have an opportunity to catch up with Shaq, and we've got lots coming up, too, including Jamie Lynch with a beef. We'll let you know who he has beef with just in a few moments here, but I appreciate the fact that Earl in Havertown joins us. Earl, welcome into the show. Hey, Earl.
How are you, man?
What's going on, man?
I just wanted to call and verify that you came back into Tabs. I was on student council with you for 4 years, 78 to 82. And what the listening audience doesn't really know is the Flyers, while people like the Flyers, it wasn't fanatical, and you were fanatical.
I never shut up about the Flyers, right?
It was almost like arguments back and forth. It was unbelievable. It was like, who cares about the Flyers? A lot of people would say, and you were like crazy about it.
It was my obsession.
And people have to know that. And the fact that you came back into town means they're going to win a cup.
The thing is, though, Bob wants me to be baptized by Gritty. I think it's a great idea. Earl, you think so?
Absolutely.
Think so?
You know, we were on student council. We got Kathy Lyon was actually our president.
There you go. Absolutely. Yeah, there's Kathy. The smartest of the smartest line. Yes, the smartest line.
There
Kathy
you go.
Was it? Good job, man. Thank you, Earl. Take care,
all
man.
All right. See you soon.
I'll see you around. I was Flyers were always my number one, and it wasn't close. The for my father and my uncles, the Phillies were number one. And Eagles were always huge in our house, but Flyers were always my number one. And I was constantly repping the Flyers. Flyers was number one obsession. And when I got to start doing stuff with that Flyers coaching staff, it was the biggest thrill. When I got my internship doing PR and then working at Prism as an intern, that was the biggest thrill of my life. Like and it really fed the desire to want to do this for a living.
It was such a cult following back then because it was a new sport. Nobody knew hockey. They come along and within 6 years they're winning Stanley Cups, multiple, three straight Stanley Cup finals. They got, you know, blitzed by the Canadians in 76. But it was so cool, and you're right. My first sports experience, the first thing I fell in love with, and this to this day I can almost name every Flyer by number from those 74, 75 teams.
You know why, though, Bob? And for a lot of people, too, it was our dawning as that was sort of our beginning as sports fans.
Yeah, I mean, we were little.
Sixers stunk terribly. The 9-72ers, weren't they?
Yeah.
The Phillies stunk. Mm-hmm. Stunk. And the Eagles were terrible.
Oh, God, yeah.
So when the Flyers won, they just captured the imagination of this town. And so, as just was attested to there, yes, in, believe it or not, I talked a lot in high school.
What?
You find that surprising?
No way.
And Flyers was always what I was talking about.
The Legion of Doom is what brought me into Flyers.
That's what did for you?
Yeah. Because they were last to come around for me. I had some friends that I grew up with that were pretty good hockey players. So I kind of got into it. I played street hockey, but they were always the last to come around for me. And it was the Legion of Doom that finally kind of made me, you know, a Flyers fan.
Bob, favorite Flyer of all time?
Bobby Clark. It was funny.
That's a painful moment for me.
Mine might actually be Johnny Vermont, John LeClair.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah, I liked him more than Lindros.
It's very hard for me because my favorite Flyer of all time is one of my favorite people to ever wear the Flyers uniform, and it's Bobby Taylor. The Chief, Bobby Taylor.
Oh, the cornerback.
But I just adore Bobby Taylor as a person. So he's always just one of my favorites. I'm gonna tell you that it might have been Tim Kerr or Dave Poulin, but Mark Howe. Mm-hmm. Now I don't see Mark Howe smoking in between periods.
No,
which is chain smoking.
Yeah, oh, it was different back then.
It was a different era.
Yeah,
but Brad McCrimmon too, who later on became a coach with the Thrashers.
Yeah,
so it's Kevin and God rest his soul. Beast was just awesome. But literally, those guys played every other shift, every other night.
Oh yeah,
every other shift, every other night.
Oh, yeah. Tim Kerr had so many hat tricks.
And to me, that was a great era.
Yeah,
a great era too.
And the Flyers, you can make the argument that they win those cups in 74, 75. Well, five short years later, you just mentioned how bad all the teams were. 5 years later, every major sport was in the championship. And I think the Flyers had a lot to do with that.
One school year for us.
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine that being a kid in Philadelphia.
I have.
Well, you look like a kid still.
I know.
You still have that childlike enthusiasm for life. But in one school year, you're in the fall, the Phillies win the World Series. In the winter, the Eagles play in the Super Bowl.
I can't imagine.
And in the spring, the Flyers and Sixers are both in their finals.
Yeah, congratulations on your success. Move on.
That was one school year.
We get it.
Let's see what Janine has to say. I wonder if this is Janine. Janine, welcome to the John Kincaid Show. How are you?
John, I can totally.
You can attest to the fact that I talked in high school, right?
Oh my God, did you talk in high school?
Now, Chicken Man, do you think Chicken Man has tuned into the show?
So I think you are the reason that Chicken Man has turned fully gray.
See, you think that very well could be. Janine, so I mean, you know my Flyers love, though. It always was there.
I do. And I know how much you love to stir the pot.
Yes.
And then duck your head behind me so that nobody knew that it was you saying it, but I was the one that got caught.
Yeah, she did. She got, Janine got detention a few times because of me. One of the, you know, because everybody had to sit alphabetically. And unfortunately for the teachers at O'Hara, Kincaid always ended up in the back of row 3. So, and unfortunately for Janine being and Janine, can I say the name? Can I say that?
Yeah.
Being a Kane. She was always in front of me.
Okay.
So she was always going to be, it was bad for her.
Janine, if you don't mind, I do have to try to extract a little advice from you.
Oh, okay. Sure.
And this is for me, Bob, for Jamie, and for Pat.
Okay,
how the hell do you put up with all of his talking?
Oh, my God. So because of the years of experience of dealing with John.
Right.
It's very entertaining.
Really?
At times. Oh, God, yes. Because the tangents just go on and on. But I got to tell you, there's no one who has loved this city more than him and took it with him to Atlanta. And I even called into his Atlanta show.
Yes.
Before. And let me tell you, this guy loves this city. He may not always agree with, or you may not always agree with what he has to say, but it starts the conversation.
and it stirs the pot.
There you go.
So I just find it always entertaining. So
thank you, Janine.
Welcome back, John.
Thank you, darling.
Glad to hear you on the airwaves.
I look forward to seeing you soon. Janine, did you have to sit alphabetically in school? Every class we had to sit alphabetically.
No, not every class like that, no.
It was up to the teacher, yeah.
No, we had to sit alphabetically every class.
To start out, yeah.
Is that how it worked?
Well, see, in grade school.
No, we had to sit alphabetically in high school. Every class,
yeah.
Alphabetically. And Kincaid always ended up the back of row three.
Huh.
So I was always in the back of the classroom.
Yeah,
which
was really bad, the same.
Really bad for teachers. And I apologize very much. All right, let's get to Jamie Lynch.
This is the Lynchpin.
Jamie, do you have beef today? It's a Friday. We're joyous. We're having fun. Shaq's joining us in around a half hour. Come on. You have beef with somebody today?
Yeah, it's the Phillies. And
okay, this could be legitimate beef then.
They drive me
insane. Welcome to the party.
Insane. And Steve Cohen, I've talked about it, you know, as soon as he purchased the team, going back to it, I was worried. I was worried about what he was going to bring to the NL East. And the Phillies might be a last-place team right now in the NL East, as it's currently constructed.
Marlins were in the postseason last year.
Yeah.
Braves are not.
No.
Braves are in a different
They're the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
The Nationals just got a very cheap Josh Bell signing. And, oh, yeah, the Mets just got the best shortstop in baseball. And not too shabby of a pitcher in Carlos Carrasco himself. And there's rumors out there that they're not done yet. And they might be going to get a George Springer. And Steve Cohen's going to spend money in the face of a pandemic. And we have a franchise that has laid off a lot of its staff, that is crying poor when it comes to free agency, when JT Realmuto should have never been taken to arbitration in the first place.
Now, that's where I agree with you.
Yeah. That's because Buster Olney has said anybody at that stage of their career that's taken to arbitration hasn't re-signed with their team. An all-star caliber player. And they've squandered this. Andy McPhail was brought here to fix it.
He failed, all right.
Oh, he failed.
He failed in spades.
And Dave Dombrowski has his work cut out for him here.
They brought in, though, somebody who should give you joy. Like, it should be... Dombrowski being here should bring you some joy.
He's a winner.
It helps a little bit, but I don't think he's the right guy to fix the bigger picture, which is the farm system.
Wow.
Dave Dombrowski is the win now.
Go to Detroit. Go to his work in Detroit.
Oh, sure. Yeah, he did.
He did rebuild. He did stop
the
Shelton.
But he's the guy that you bring in to push you over the edge. He did okay in Detroit. He got Miguel Cabrera.
No, Klentak was the guy who pushed us over the edge.
Yeah, the wrong edge.
Exactly.
Believe me, they're pushing us over the edge.
And I just see the Mets move, and I see this NL East landscape, and I hate it. I hate the direction they're going in. I hate that they're playing games with their top free agent. I hate that they don't have any bullpen help within the farm system to correct this. I just hate. I have a lot of Phillies hate in my heart.
And you know what you should hate? You should hate the fact that the Braves locked down their young core.
Oh, yeah.
Year two of their contract.
Yeah.
Year two in Major League Baseball.
And meanwhile, they
literally bought them out, locked them down.
And the one guy they did that to, Scott Kingery, is still very much an unknown.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
So, like, the one guy in the franchise history that they locked up before he'd ever played a game looks like he's, you know, a mediocre MLB player.
This is a make or break year for him.
I don't think there's a make.
I don't see it becoming great. Yeah.
No, I think it's there. I think it's there, and I think he's just dealt with.
I think he's
COVID injuries. Yeah,
I think he's got potential to be good.
Yeah, no, I think there's a huge breakout potential with him.
Huh?
Huge.
Okay, that's one. That is one we will put. We will check the tape on that one because I don't see a huge upside.
I see serviceable.
No. I see a little better than serviceable.
Yeah, maybe a little better.
Serviceable sounds... Because I always think serviceable is one of those condescending sports
terms. Well, Cesar Hernandez is serviceable.
Yes.
But no, I think But this is it. Like, if he doesn't turn it on now, then it's not going to happen.
Is his best position that being a 3 to 4 day a player...
A Whit Merrifield
game player at different positions.
Mark DeRosa did that for around three seasons.
Yeah, could be.
University of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, but they want him to be Whit Merrifield.
No, don't call DeRosa to be on the show.
I wasn't going to.
But they've
kind of screwed him up a little bit because of the fact that they wanted him to be DeRosa or Merrifield. It's like They overthought it. You know, let's make him a center fielder. He's never played center field. So instead of focusing on the plate, he's now focusing on his defense. He's focusing on his defense at third, at short. He's a second baseman.
Yeah.
But they refused to trade Cesar Hernandez, of all people, and I really think it stunted his growth.
And you would be an expert.
And I would know.
That.
Trust me.
You would understand that one.
I resemble that remark.
Hey, it's our friends at Martin Law. Proud sponsors here on the John Kincaid Show, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com every time that you can. Are you watching on twitch.tv? Are you watching on our YouTube channel? Seems like a lot of people getting in on that. Just search 97.5 The Fanatic. By the way, you can go back and watch the show at night. Not to be able to just check and see how many seconds we ran over for a break.
That's gnawing at you, isn't it?
We've done really well this week. But I am obsessed. I have obsession. I told you is that I'm obsessed with ritual order, hitting the marks where we're supposed to and everything like that. But the point that I've gone back is I realize is that I have more time on my hands. Not being a full-time husband and father with them south.
All right, so I have a question on this.
Yes.
You have so much time on your hands that last night when I texted you just to, you know, hey, what'd you do for dinner? Just want to make sure you're all right. And you said, yeah, everything's good, blah, blah, blah. I'm now rewatching Us from this morning.
I was watching. That's what I was doing, though.
I know.
I was auditing our show.
Okay, so it wasn't out of pleasure of seeing yourself on the TV.
No, it was out of, I'm trying to say, like, I thought yesterday's show was a little... It wasn't sportsy enough for me.
Yeah.
So I wanted to go back and listen to some stuff and say, okay. Right. And I blame myself for that, by the way. Because I was actually causing us to have the most tangent shit.
No, it's fine. But
it's not fine.
So my question was centered around, are you the type of guy that if you do a TV hit, if you do a show, whatever, that you go home later that night and watch yourself?
I never watch it.
Okay, good.
Never watch
it. All right, good. See, that endears me to you even more.
But it's not why you think. It's because I would be going, my hair wasn't right. My posture wasn't right. I'd be critiquing myself.
I just said
myself.
You endeared yourself to me even more. Now you're taking it away.
No, but I know I don't watch it. That's why I don't watch
it. Okay. All right. How was your hair yesterday?
It was spectacular, by the way. Kyle in Center City joins us. Kyle, welcome to the John Kincaid Show. How are you?
John, congrats on the new role, and I'm excited to listen to you. It's my first time. I just wanted to say you are great so far, and I look forward to the future.
We appreciate it, man. We got a great team here, and we hope that you spend more time with us every day.
Absolutely. My beef right now with the Phillies also is along with Jamie's. It's just go sign somebody. It's just pissing me off. Everyone around us just makes the move. Stop focusing on the whole JT thing. I've moved on. I think Bryce eventually is going to move on. Just put him in the back burner and sign some pitching. We got the guy in the bullpen. Let's get some more offense. It's just...
You want to see action, Kyle. You're looking for action.
What are we doing?
Yes, I mean, I agree with you. This has been a very quiet offseason.
I mean, the offseason started, almost 6 weeks ago now? And they're just twiddling their thumb. It took them half of that time period to even hire a GM.
Okay.
What are they doing?
Absolutely.
What is their game plan?
They're watching the Mets.
Oh, we're going to wait till the winter meetings.
Give me a break.
Okay,
do they know they're not happening this year?
Yeah, I know.
Here's one I'm a little confused
They might
with.
Not.
It is Friday, and I'm always of the fact that we get introspective with ourselves and what we say and what we think. And Bob, I don't know if you are retreating or if you're thinking in retrospect that Carson Wentz did the right thing this week. What is it? Like, are you believing that in retrospect he did the right thing?
Yeah, I think it is. Not talking, not doing anything, I think was the right thing. Whether this plays out the way we want it to or not, which, as we agree, again, him coming back, writing himself would probably be best for the team. We talked to experts that say he probably won't be back in Shefty and Mort. I don't know how that's going to play out. I think him not talking, and believe me, coming from a guy who made a living on needing stars to talk, and I thought he should have talked at the time, I think he did the right thing for himself in that let it die down, think of what you have to do. I don't like that he told the organization, I'll get back to you. But not talking out in the media when you're the backup quarterback in this situation.
He's not the backup quarterback.
He's the franchise quarterback. He's making $34 million next year.
How about this one? Can I throw one thing at you at this take? 18 NFL franchises, okay, are sitting at home. There are 14 that are still playing.
Mm-hmm.
Of those 18 franchises, their highest paid player spoke to the media after the season for 17 of them.
Look, there's a...
One of them did not.
Yeah.
Right. There's and it's Carson.
And I'm almost doing a legality thing here. And I hear you. And I agree with you. And I said to you at the beginning, he should have spoken. No question. The legality thing here is he is not obligated to... And I'm just saying,
okay,
he's not obligated because he's not the starting quarterback. It's like, it's an NFL rule. It's an NBA rule. Who has to speak?
Right.
He didn't have to. I think he should have. But I think he made the right call.
Don't you think his silence sends one very clear message?
It probably does. But guess what?
So I guess I would ask you, what is the harm in releasing a social media post? Because I don't expect
Jason Kelce.
Yeah, exactly. I don't expect him to get up on the podium and field questions. What's the harm in releasing a social media post that says, "I am dedicated to the Philadelphia Eagles, to correcting the mistakes on the field this year, and to be the franchise quarterback of the team"?
That would have ended
what is the
everything.
Harm?
It would have ended it. I'm not defending. I just think, here's what I'm saying. I don't think he wants to lie. And I don't think maybe
that's why his
feeling.
Silence is telling you where he wants
it
to be,
is.
And that's elsewhere.
But in my opinion, he made the right call by staying silent.
You're a very fair guy. You're more fair guy than I am. You're a very fair guy. You explore gray area much better than I do. You go into gray area of topics much more than I do. Jamie, I think we're a little more wired the same.
Yeah. I mean,
Bob's gray area is this wide.
His silence told me one thing.
Yes. See, I
agree.
I assume, and guess what? We assume on that point.
Sure.
We could be wrong.
We could be, but I don't think so.
The belief that we don't think we're wrong.
But Orlovsky yesterday said the same thing. Like, when you guys brought it up, Orlovsky said,
he was like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm not disagreeing with that.
Right,
I agree. I'm just
because I don't see the downside of releasing that message.
Yes.
Because I don't see trade you either.
Because if they end up trading you after you release that message, you have the public on your side.
Hear me out. I don't agree. I don't disagree with that at all. I think whatever he would have said, I think the reason he didn't speak is because he didn't want to lie. I think what him not speaking does speak volumes. But I think it could have been far worse had he gone out and talked and either tried to cover it up or tried to lie or whatever. I just think walking away in this instance was in the best interest of him right now.
I agree with Bob. That's scary.
And that isn't, it's good. But I just say is that as I learn about you guys, I'm seeing Jamie and I are a little more like my gray area in life. And believe me, I think it's my biggest weakness. My biggest character flaw is that I see right, wrong, yes, no, good, bad. And I don't investigate a lot of times the gray area. You have a wide gray area. You think things out much more than I do. I'm learning that. You think things out.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Look, we all think differently. We all look at things differently. John, this might give you a little background. These guys have heard the story. I'm 17 years old. I have my whole high school basketball team over the house to watch an Eagles-Cowboys game, right?
Okay.
We didn't have practice that day. Our coach gave us off, which was a rarity. He killed us, ran us into the ground, all that stuff. We're watching the game, Eagles-Cowboys. Eagles will wind up losing. I see my friends going crazy. Oh, my God, they're depressed. And I swear to God, I remember this moment like it was yesterday. I sat back and I said, what difference does it make in my life, really, if the Eagles win or not? Because tomorrow, our coach is going to run us into the ground because we didn't practice today. So I'm going to be dying this time tomorrow afternoon. My girlfriend hates me because she just hates me. So that's not going to change if the Eagles win or lose. Like, what does it... So I really... like, it was almost like how you see in movies where you step back and the world goes in front of
an
you.
Epiphany.
I really thought to myself then, I'm watching these games for entertainment. And I'm not, and I like to get solely invested in it when I don't have an outcome in it was a kind of different way that I started looking at games.
It's interesting.
It sounds boring, but it's not.
I like the perspective of I truly do. You constantly like yesterday. Jamie said something. Your goal. I wrote it down. When I wrote it down, my goal in life is to be happy.
Yeah,
that's a great goal.
Yeah.
Like as I learn about you guys and I get to know you guys, like, that's a great goal.
I mean, yeah.
That you want to be happy on Friday.
Yeah, I don't.
You want to be happy.
I don't like, when I say hate, it's sports hate.
That's sports hate,
it's not
right,
like
exactly.
Really. I don't like having hate in my heart, as cheesy as that sounds.
Yes.
Because it distracts.
it takes me away from me and the people I care about and my family. It preoccupies me with something else that I shouldn't, frankly, waste my time on.
Like one of these spankers on social media the other day says,
Spankers.
Whoa, that's
whoa, wow. We get back spankers.
They're spanking your backside. He says, Kincaid won't root for Carson Wentz to have success in life. Correct. But listen to what I'm saying. The only place I root for Carson Wentz to have success is on the football field. I don't know Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
If Carson Wentz is one of my buddies, somebody that I know personally, I root for them to have a great marriage, to have the kids to do well. Mm-hmm. I think I only root for athletes to have success or failure on the field. And as I said the other day, if Carson wanders out of this town like a little bee, I will root against him to have no success. I will root, I will absolutely, and I will enjoy every minute of it. Hey, Shaquille O'Neal joins us 10 minutes past the next hour, so you don't want to miss a minute of it. Plus, a big weekend of NFL football coming your way. And I will ask you this, a lot of long, cold winters ahead for us. John Kincaid Show, 9 o'clock hour comes your way next on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Playoffs! You want to talk about the playoffs? Well, the football playoffs start this weekend, and there's no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook. It's America's top-rated sportsbook app. DraftKings Sportsbook has endless ways for you to bet. You can live bet. You can put in parlays. You can do teasers. You can do all of it, even bet on your favorite player. They do it all. Check out the DraftKings Sportsbook app every day this week to cash in on their daily odds boost. I got 100% odds boost on basketball last night. DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANATIC when you sign up and get up to $1,000. That's code FANATIC to get a deposit bonus up to $1,000 for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires a 25-time playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
We got an hour to go on the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Appreciate you. The 9 o'clock hour brought to you by The Bagster. It's a dumpster in a bag. I love Anthony.
Is that supposed to be Anthony?
I love Anthony. I can't do it. Dumpster in a bag. It's The Bagster. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to bagster.com. I just sort of want to have a Bagster just to have one.
Have you seen them?
Yes. And it's awesome. It's a great concept.
It's terrific, yeah.
They're like must have. If you're doing home improvements, they're must have.
Well, I hope that we're not. I'm hoping that the solution that we will come to for a homestead here in Philadelphia will be that Christina will say we are building new construction. That is what I am most comfortable with.
Hmm.
So Katie, my cousin, the realtor, if she's listening, that is what I want you to steer my wife to.
Okay.
Because I don't want to be Chip and Joanna. Because I can't do anything. So I do not want to have the Bagster out in the driveway and see people tearing up, buy a house and seeing it torn down to be rebuilt. I've seen all the shows. Once they start down the walls, the price goes up $10,000, $20,000.
Oh, and that was running into trouble.
Because nothing's ever easy.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping for a nice smooth. So I'm actually, Bob, you know, yesterday I said, I'm going to take a ride out on Sunday and see this new construction place that Christina's interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to have an open mind to the commute.
Better have an open wallet.
Doesn't sound open-minded, does it? At the beginning of this hour, let's just say I am hoping that we are not heading towards a lot of really disappointing seasons ahead of us. It's quite a bummer when your team's not playing wild card weekend.
Yeah.
Unless your team's not playing because they have a bye. And then it's the best weekend of all to watch people. I don't say you're rooting for injuries, but you're hoping that the teams beat the hell out of each other and that somebody goes limping off. But making the postseason and competing as a wild card team has felt almost like a birthright to the Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan era generation of Eagles fans. Bob and I know differently. I'm really excited for the games this weekend, but it sort of feels hollow.
because I'm wondering if this is just the beginning of a bunch of really depressing falls in front of us and how long this will last. And I'm going to ask every Eagles fan right now to be honest. Do you see a wild card game in your future? Wild card game weekend, 2021. Next year, 2021 season. And what would it take to get one? Because I'm going to tell you this, without Carson Wentz, I believe it is a 100% impossibility. Without Carson Wentz being here, it's a complete impossibility. And Morton Schefter on this show sort of told us this week, they expect him to be elsewhere. So my plea, if the relationship can be saved, save it. Agenda one is to get Carson back and get him right. Or else, I believe we're signing on for a dramatic rebuild, and I would suggest packing a lunch. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan joining us. It's the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Shaq in just a few moments, so you want to stick around for that. And the greatest, I will just tell you before we get to that topic, the greatest anxiousness in life is counting on Shaq to be there at the time that you say it. It is the greatest anxiousness in life.
He's got a little Allen Iverson in him.
I can only tell you, it just gives you that anxiousness of, okay.
It's funny to me, too.
Yeah, well, it's not funny
to me.
Did
you see his fuzzy slippers on the set last night?
I know. All I can tell you is...
What does Shaq have slippers?
Friedman's. Friedman's is a shoe store...
That has size 20, what is he, 21?
If you watch Shaq Life on TNT, last night they had an episode of Shaq Life. In the episode that they showed you, he was at Friedman's. Friedman's is the shoe store that NBA players, when they come into town in Atlanta, would go and shop. And they literally do and have everything shipped back to their homes.
He's a 23, Pat.
He's a 23.
Hmm.
And when kids who...
That's three sizes
And when underprivileged kids who don't have money... have reached out over the years and said they don't have money to find or they can't find shoes in their size. Mm-hmm. He will make sure that he'll take them out to Friedman's and
get
some shoes. The great Craig Sager was just always another Friedman's guy. The leopard skin shoes, the alligator shoes. Don't tell me this is the beginning of an Eagles, though, decline, that the next three falls are going to suck. Not after I return home. Not after I'm so excited to be here. Don't tell me that I'm bringing back the plague with me.
All right, you want the good news first or the bad news first?
I want the good news first.
Okay. There was this guy here, Chip Kelly, that they hired and they brought in here. And all of a sudden they realized that nobody liked him. And they didn't think he could do good things for this football team. So they got rid of him. They brought in this guy, Doug Peterson. And two short years later, John, they won the Super Bowl.
I remember that day.
2 years. It seemed to be a rebuild. And 2 years later, they won the Super Bowl. So,
but wasn't Chip Kelly's last team 9-7? Or am I wrong?
I don't believe they were 9-7 until they'd done it the last in their franchise's history. The previous 2 years, which is very bizarre.
Yeah, I thought they were 7-9. So whatever it was,
7-9 his last year. I know he did 10-6. I think he did 10-6 twice.
Yeah,
he did 10-6 twice. Missed the playoffs one time as a 10-win team. And then the last year was a disaster, and he got fired before it ended.
It was a disaster.
So it took only two short years to get back not only into contention, they won the Super Bowl. So there's your good news. But here's your bad news.
Oh, geez.
As we hit on yesterday, tell me a position on the football field where the Eagles don't need serious upgrading. There isn't any, except for, punter and long snapper, they are set. I mean, set as set can be. But after that, John... there is a major flaw in this roster. Therefore, long time, many cold, long, cold, hard winners.
Oh, no.
I see three or four.
You better get your Bradford White water heater.
I don't think I can do three or four.
I don't think it's going to happen in the next two. I think a rebuild can happen quicker than some people think, but it requires hitting on your first and second round draft picks in a big way, the next two drafts. And I agree with you, next year's an impossibility unless Carson Wentz is the quarterback.
And I think that's the only way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, Bob, you brought up how it only took 3 years to get to the Super Bowl and win one, but they had so many core players in line already in the building that are now either not there or just past their prime. I mean, to your point, like, we looked at the roster, there's not a lot there.
Yeah.
It's bleak. With Chip Kelly, it was more of a scheme thing in the fact that players didn't like him. But the talent was there. There's no talent. And not only are there's no talent.
That's scary.
They're overpaid and they're old.
See, that's really scary. I mean, that really does scare me. That absolutely. Bob, you say it with such decisiveness.
Like I have been so many times in the past, I could be absolutely wrong. But, I mean, seriously, when you break it down like we did yesterday, position by position, there is nothing. And you're, all right, we're all hoping on Carson Wentz. If Carson Wentz comes back and is the player, that immediately makes your tight ends better. It immediately maybe makes your wide receivers better. And hopefully an offensive line. But on the surface right now, Carson Wentz isn't any good. And then go position by position, there's nothing that you can wrap your hands around that's good moving forward.
That scares me.
I mean, there's very little. You know, like they're going to have to probably even shed some of the little talent that they do have left. I mean, think about it. With the cap hell that they're in, I mean, you might, Ertz, we've already discussed, and he's probably all but gone. But, like, you're going to have to make some really hard decisions when it comes to your high-priced guys, which is the talent you have now.
Right.
I mean, God forbid it's a Brandon Graham or Fletcher Cox or somebody that's proven it on the field year after year. But, like, these are the things they have to possibly consider. So we might not have even seen our darkest days yet.
Oh, my gosh. That's really not what I need to hear today.
Especially if it's Jalen Hurts learning on the job next year.
That's not what I need to hear today.
If they hand it over to Jalen Hurts, as much as I like the kid, I don't have very much confidence for next season.
Okay, do me a favor. Is there a way I can dial a number in here?
Because no, I would have to do it for you.
You would have to do it for me. Okay. Well, I'm gonna.
Go ahead. You can go take off if you have to.
Yeah, we'll talk.
All right.
You do that a little.
We'll have a little coffee talk.
Well, it's funny. That a little bit. I'm gonna call a number, and he's gonna call.
All right. And it's funny how you bring up maybe might be Jamie the biggest hindrance of trying to move this forward is the salary cap.
Oh yeah. I mean,
I don't know what they're gonna do.
It's gonna be a completely different Eagles roster next year. Completely different.
Yeah.
Because of those salary cap implications. I mean, the easiest way out of that salary cap hell is somehow, if you were to trade Wentz, reworking his deal to dissipate some of that $34 million dead cap hit that they're facing in the eyes. That would be the quickest way to get out from it. But that requires the other team being involved in the renegotiation. That involves Carson Wentz being involved in the renegotiation, and then finding a trade and, you know, on its face value, some relatively fair return. And that's an awful situation to be staring in the eyes.
And if that has to come true, then we all have to be fans of Frank Reich's to say, no, you don't want Philip Rivers for $25 million at 39 years old.
Yeah.
You want Carson Wentz at 27 years old with a huge salary.
And even if you get rid of that, there's still more money to make up.
Exactly.
So, yeah, dark days are ahead.
Do me a favor, and Pat Egan, please punch up the right line for me, just to make sure that I punch. Oh, there it is. Joining us now, a guy I just saw shirtless on FaceTime. His name is Shaquille O'Neal. You may have heard of him. Shaq, are you shaving while I was calling you FaceTime?
No, I was
admiring.
I was dropping the kids off at the pool.
Shirtless. So you in the whole scheme of things, Shaquille O'Neal. Joining us here, and we've been partners for a long time, Shaq. And I already, as I come home to my hometown, and everybody is worried about Joel Embiid, and everybody's worried about this Philadelphia 76ers team, people think in this town you're too hard on Joel Embiid. And I try to tell them, you love what you see in him, but you want more, right?
Hey, I'm just trying to get what I took away from you guys. Trying to get you guys a championship.
You mean when the referees helped you win back in 2000?
Oh.
You mean the referees that went to your high school? You should have called them.
If we had just paid them a little more. I mean, is it do you think this Sixers core can win?
I'm hard on Joel Embiid because if he can respond to what I'm saying, because I have the blueprint on what it takes to be a dominant big man, then he will definitely win. Do they have what it takes to win? Yes. They got a great 1-2 punch. Tobias Harris is a great fair score. And they got a lot of good others. They just have to really listen and respect Doc, and they have to want it. You know, this is not easy. This isn't something that you can pussyfoot around and win. This isn't cupcakes. This is old stale steak.
Shaq joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. And Shaq, my one partner here, Bob Cooney, I know you've asked Shaq questions over the years.
I have been in a locker room with Shaq over the years, yes.
So you haven't gotten a glimpse of it, have you?
No.
Just saying. Be careful.
I have not,
be
Shaq.
Careful.
I've kept my head up. But I often think of you, Shaq, when I look at Joel Embiid play. I see such a great finesse game from a 7'2", 280-pound guy. To me, I don't see enough power from him. Do you agree with that? And can he get more power if so needed?
It's not about power. It's about, listen, you got to have a lot of finesse, right? But it's about strategy. When you're playing against a guy smaller than you, post up. Post up. When you're playing against a guy bigger than you, take him out. Use your finesse. It's good to have a lot of finesse. Tim Duncan had a lot of finesse, but when Tim Duncan realized and recognized that you were smaller, he took you on the post. It's about strategy. You know, you can't win just by having one strategy. And then, you know, him shooting jumpers all the time. I play with a lot of great shooters. Glenn Rice and D. Scott, if they miss two jump shots in a row, they're going to the hole. They get into the free throw line. They're going to shoot two free throws, which is similar to shooting a jumper. Then they'll go back out because, you know, once they see it go through the hole, then they'll say, you know what, now I got rhythm, now I can step out and shoot this jumper.
Shaq,
all about strategy.
When the Sixers brought in Doc Rivers, and I started being excited because I said, wow, now they got a coach that I can believe in, Shaq continuously would correct me, the coach doesn't matter in the NBA. We've argued this, and you're the guy who's the Hall of Famer. So, Shaq, why do you believe, tell the people why you believe coaching matters a hell of a lot less than guys like me on Sports Talk Radio think it does?
The only time coaching matters is in crunch situation is if you have somebody that you believe in. If you have a guy that does not panic, if your general does not panic, then the troops don't panic. Other than that, coaches all do the same thing, X and O's, get you ready for the game. But you have to go out and execute. You have to go out and play. You have to go out and act your will on the game. You have to say, you know what, forget what coach is saying. Give me the ball, Ben, I'm going to work. Give me the ball, Ben, they're going to double. I'm going to kick it out to Tobias. Hey, Tobias is hot right now. I'm not going to shoot him, but just going to dribble, draw, make sure he gets the ball. You have to do that. You have to lead your team, period.
Shaq, I want to make sure you meet Jamie. Part of our team here, Jamie Lynch, and Jamie, you would have been booing Shaq back in that finals. In fact, you probably called him names as a young kid.
Probably, probably.
No,
you broke my heart, Shaq. Shaq, last night you got a first row seat to Joel Embiid playing on a back-to-back game, which isn't something we're accustomed to. Is playing on a back-to-back a mental thing or a physical thing?
It's a little bit of both, but This is the formula you have to have for winning the championship. Back-to-back, schmack to schmack. Play dominant at home, right? Let people know you can't come in here and win. Beat the teams you're supposed to beat and stay 500 above the road. They're supposed to beat that team last night. Now, you always have to stick to the formula. Now, if you get off the formula, the next formula is we can't lose two games in a row. They're fine. They're 7-2. They didn't play well last night. Now we have to say to ourselves, we can never lose two games in a row. If you stick to that formula, what that does, that gives you the blueprint of winning. It gives you the success of winning. It gives you the feeling of winning. And then if you can win in pressure situations, you can play well. You know, they're right there. They're right there. They got to get through Boston. They got to get through Brooklyn. They got to get through Miami Heat. They got to get through Milwaukee, of course. And that's what sports is all about, competition.
Shaq, how big an acquisition was Daryl Morey joining this organization?
I don't know who Daryl Morey is. I know he was with the Rockets. I don't know what he's capable of, but I'm used to guys like Jerry West. I'm used to guys like Jerry West that can, you know, just see things, imagine things, you know, put things together. You know, Daryl had some success in Houston, but you want some success or you want the real success? I don't praise guys that have some success. Like, everybody is jumping on me because they think I'm jumping on Rudy Gobert. Do you understand what I'm saying with Rudy Gobert?
Yeah, absolutely. I know how to speak Shaqology, though.
Exactly.
Well, there, you learn it over time. Shaq, I got to tell you that there's the third member of the team here, too, that I want to make sure introduce you to, Pat Egan. He's the guy I told you about. He's the guy I told you when we said, Shaq's like, do you have a good team? Because he says always, it's not about you, it's about your teammates.
Sure.
Not being able to dish it. And I told you about Egan. And I just said that he's, you know, he's the last member. He's got to say hello to you here.
Yeah, I'm the Mark Madsen of the team, Shaq. but when in terms of the Sixers, when you're looking at James Harden over in Houston, a lot of Sixers fans are on the fence about trading Ben Simmons for James Harden if that were on the table. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on it and if you would do it.
First of all, Pat Egan sounds like a Hall of Fame high school coach name.
Wow. Yes, it does.
Well, I'm about 5'3", so I don't think so.
Second of all, would I trade him? The answer is no. And this is why. Ben Simmons is younger, more athletic, and he plays the game the right way, the Philadelphia way. Big, strong, runs hard, passes the ball. James Harden is stuck in his ways. He's going to dribble, 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 dribble. That's going to take Joel Embiid away from the ball. Now imagine Joel Embiid running up and down the court 4 or 5 times without touching the ball. What do you think he's going to do then? You can answer that, Mr. Egan.
Yeah, I
go ahead.
Say it, Pat.
Come on.
Say it.
Yeah.
Say it, Pat.
Go ahead. Joel Embiid 5 times watching a guy dribble between his legs and shoot the ball. What do you think that's going to do to his mentals?
Yeah, he's gonna think he's James Harden. He's gonna check out. Yeah.
And that's Shaq. That's the whole problem. That's the whole problem with this is that there's a lot of people wishing that this team would be shaped up differently. That they don't think that the team is currently constructed is ready to win a championship.
I think you guys look good. My favorite guy on the team is Tobias Harris. He plays the right way. Plays hard. A lot of people want Ben to shoot threes. He ain't gonna shoot threes. He's been averaging 18 his whole career, not shooting threes. Listen, when a guy backs up, run to him, make him play you, draw and kick. That's all you gotta do.
Now,
there's a lot of guys that survived in this league that hasn't been able to shoot.
Now, when I was getting ready to choose a new team, Shaq was giving me advice. Like, you know, it's like, where are you going to end up? What are you going to do? So when I was talking about the Fanatic, Shaq, can you give these guys any kind of an idea about sort of cracking the code on me, dealing with me? Because these guys got to do it 5 days a week. You and I only had to do it 1 day a week. So,
what I like about you Philadelphia guys is you always say what's on your mind. Hey, John, you always say what's on your mind. So I think you guys are like a great team. Only thing I ask is don't wake me up at 9:21 in the morning.
Wait a minute, though.
The problem at 12 o'clock.
Well, you know what we're gonna do next time we have you on, we are going to pre-tape it the day before, so thank it's available. How about that? Is that a deal?
Yeah. And you know what? If you do that, I'll give you guys an interview once a month.
Okay, that's
all
a deal.
Good. That's a deal.
Wait,
what time does Shaq usually wake up?
Oh gosh.
12, 1.
Easy.
Two,
wait, whoa.
Wow.
I woke you up later than that.
Yeah, you're right.
I've woken him up later than that. He's a night owl. Shaquille, I love you, and I look forward to having you catch up with the John Kincaid Show once a month. That's what we're going to do then. Once a month, we're going to do it. All right, brother?
Yep. I love you guys. Philadelphia, good luck. 76ers, good luck. Hope you guys win it.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Shaq.
All right. Bye-bye.
There you go. Shaquille O'Neal. Joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline.
Is that contract binding?
No, it is.
Is it legally binding?
It was already arranged.
All right, it was already arranged.
He did ask me, though, if we will pre-tape.
Not a problem pre-tape. For
so
Shaq.
We'll pre-tape so that way
we can make it work. Yeah.
One of my favorite people
in sports media.
Great to have Shaq on, and Liberty Mutual Insurance is also great because they let you pay for what you need. Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance. Liberty Mutual customizes your insurance so you only pay for what you need. You can customize and save with Liberty Mutual Insurance. Chris and Matt are trying to hang on and get in the conversation, and I want to get to you. So I hope that you'll stick around. A lot of people having some thoughts on the Philadelphia Eagles and more. We'd love to have you get in. Plus, remember, there are teams to root for this weekend. Even if you aren't a fan of that team, you can get in on rooting interest. We'll get to some of that coming up. So get on board if you wish. 610-632-0975. It's Shaq's favorite morning radio show. The John Kincaid Show, here on 97.5, The Fanatic. Okay, let me tell you this. You know what I love? A home team. I love the fact that I've always been a fan of the home teams here. And I love the fact that when I had the chance to come back home, that I was going to be able to wager legally. And that was going to be with the Parx Casino Sportsbook app. It's absolutely amazing. Whether you're talking about the NFL games this weekend, or college hoops, or NBA action, or hockey starting up next week, the Parx Casino Sportsbook app puts the power of that right into your hand with easy deposits, spectacular odds, outstanding customer service. And let me just give you a heads up. You know where Parx Casino is. So you're shopping locally. You're doing business locally. And they're going to give you a risk-free first bet up to $500 for new customers. Download the app. Go to parxcasino.com/PA. Use the promo code Fanatic, and your risk-free bet will be refunded in site credit. See the website for terms and conditions. Bet with the home team. The Parx Casino Sportsbook app. You got to be 21 in Pennsylvania. And gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John, I have a lot of time left in the inaugural Friday edition of the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. We've made it through our first week of work, and we will summarize the week before the top of the hour. But we have a lot of people that want to get in.
I say we go out and get something neat to celebrate after this.
I'm serious. That's because you and I are both starving.
I'm starving. Jamie,
I have not been hungry all week. Jamie,
yeah, we can have a celebratory
lunch?
Drink.
I don't know. I just got a text from the missus, which never happens, that Skylar was playing with one of our Sonos speakers and unplugged something and sparks went flying. And now the second floor doesn't have power, so...
Oh my God.
Good times are ahead.
So you've spoken into existence getting a phone call.
Basically, from your wife.
And I did say that.
Wow. Yeah, you did.
Kincaid's fault.
I never hear from her. And
that
then
is
this
so
morning,
crazy.
Yeah, my daughter. Oh, they don't even live
fine,
together.
Hopefully, it's just 610-632-0975. I promised that I would get to some callers that have been holding on. If you want to jump on in, you can. 610-632-0975. Chris in Allentown joins us. Chris, welcome to the John Kincaid Show. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, Pat. Good morning, Bob. Welcome, John. How you guys doing today?
Great, buddy.
Good, good. Good to hear. So John, I usually call in a lot. I'm a football fan. I usually call out when we usually talk football points. And I do believe that I think the Philadelphia Eagles will have an opportunity to bounce back next year. I think we do have enough depth when it comes to offensive line. We've got a lot of guys that we've got a chance to work out. So that depth is going to be there. We're going to get Brandon Brooks back. We're going to get Lane Johnson back. We have an all-star running back in Miles Sanders. You know, I think we can address a lot of our issues on defense in the draft this year, and I believe that we can get a linebacker, at least one linebacker, for Christ's sakes, this town, that can tackle, that can see a play develop and hit a hole and tackle somebody on the other side of the offensive line would be nice.
I would think that is a agenda item. Chris, welcome back anytime, and thank you for the kind welcome.
Well, if Chris wants a little beacon of positivity, Todd McShay just put out his first mock and has the Eagles taking Micah Parsons from Penn State, kid that sat out this year, linebacker, would change the entire chemistry of that defense.
I don't want to.
It's not going
to
happen.
I don't want a top 10 linebacker.
No, that's
well,
that's,
a linebacker position. I want front. And first of all, defensive front's not on my list, but we'll get to that. Mm. We'll have plenty of time to do
the
draft. The only one that I would consider if I'm taking in that position is a corner. And I know exactly where I'd be shopping. I was on the campus like 2 months ago. It's beautiful, by the way, down that Alabama. Mm-hmm. Matt in Pottstown joins us. Matt, it's the John Kincaid Show. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
What's up, buddy?
While I don't have the same enthusiasm in the rainbow machine pumping as the last caller,
yeah,
I do think that it's so 50-50. It could be a total crush rebuild, or we could actually tool some pieces. And here's where I see it. First and foremost, where that depends is what we do with a defensive coordinator. Are we bringing somebody in that's going to pick up the pieces of the 4-3 defense? Or are we bringing somebody in that's revamping and going to throw us in, I'm sorry, the 4-3, or bring somebody in that's going to revamp us into a 3-4 defense? That shuffles a lot of people and a lot of pieces, and that dictates a lot of things as to where we're going to go next year. So who the defensive coordinator is they bring in is key.
That is key. That really is key.
Yeah.
No. I didn't think about tearing it up on the defensive side of the ball, because I've got to tell you, we didn't talk about it that much this week, but with Jim Schwartz going away, I never thought Jim Schwartz was a problem. I never said to myself, the Eagles If I was listing out the Eagles' problems, he never made the top five. He never made the top five.
He was far less of a problem, I think, than we thought he was. And I brought up the subject this week. Look, if you just took the offensive coach, Doug Peterson, and the defensive coach, Jim Schwartz, did you get rid of the wrong one? If you were said you had to get rid of one, like Schwartz has been even keel, not great, not horrible, even keel kind of defensive ranked ninth in the league throughout his tenure as far as giving up points. Yeah, I mean, I don't mind that they moved on from him or he moved on from them, whatever the case is. But you can make the case that Doug Peterson may have gone first before Jim Schwartz.
Somebody was happy with the move in the room. Pat, you really are?
Oh, couldn't stand him.
Wow,
couldn't
why?
Stand
why?
Him.
Can't
stand you. Yeah, I think part of the reason was I felt like he would have maybe one or two games every year where he got the defense to buzz around against a really good team and they played well. They played a little bit over their potential, if you will. But then you would have games against Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Miami Dolphins where they would completely crap the bed, and his lack of adjustments were a big part of it. And also the fact that he had a big say in who was taken on the defensive side of the football in the draft, had a big say in how guys, you know, were used, and had a big say, more importantly, in the lack of linebackers on this team. Like, he just didn't care. And it came back to bite him in a lot of ways.
I do think the linebacker position is one that I would sort of hold against him. I would. It didn't either. You're not coaching guys up.
Yeah.
Or you don't value it enough.
But is that him or is that Howie? Because, I mean, they haven't taken a linebacker in the first round since
78.
I was going to say, what's his name?
It's 78.
Brown?
Robinson.
Is it really?
Jerry Robinson.
Jerry Robinson
UCLA. That was the last linebacker.
79, yeah.
So they had a shot at Patrick Queen last year, who, if you watch Alabama every week, like Howie Roseman should be doing, you knew was pretty much can't-miss player. And they didn't take him at 21. So I highly doubt they'll take somebody at 6. But Parsons is, I think he's of that Von Miller-esque ilk.
Okay, every one of us on the record now, you're coming in as a general manager and you're trying to construct the defense. You put the most priority on your front, the linebackers, your secondary. What is it? What's your first?
Linebackers are last.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So that's why you cannot do it in the top 10.
Right.
You can't do it. Because you've already said to me, I think, is that with you too?
Linebackers is last.
Pat,
it's
linebackers
not last for me.
You put linebackers ahead of what? Secondary?
Secondary, yeah. Oof.
See, they you can't do that because your pass
I just
rush.
Did.
Your pass rush, though, is going to be nonsense.
You can't tell me I can't. I just did it.
I can tell you this.
You're not my GM.
Look, I mean,
aren't I your work dad?
Well, I mean,
aren't I work dad?
Technically,
work
you
dad.
Work for me, bitch.
Technically, I'm controlling the buttons over here. But.
Dude, Shaq made you go silent. You couldn't even respond to him.
He just poo pooed him on my James Harden tree.
Yeah, he really did.
I'm like, okay, I guess that's not good.
I want to warn people too because I know Tyrone listening in from Mike Messinelli's show. Ty saying he loved the interview and it's great and everything. I can tell you this though, there will be times where we bring Shaq on. And we will get nothing done that we want to get done.
That's awesome.
So just so you know that.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was really, I can't believe how he stuck to.
I want to hear blue chip stories.
Oh, he'll tell you all.
Oh, the backstory of, and you can see it in the, I think the 30 for 30 was called This Magic Moment about the Orlando Magic, but how he just fell in love with Penny Hardaway while filming Blue Chips. And
he will tell you, he will tell us stories. A lot of people here going, I love hearing Shaq's insights. The funny thing is that another listener here, he goes, as a listener of the podcast, he goes, that's the most business you've ever gotten accomplished with Shaq.
It's because you woke
minutes.
Him up.
Because I got him and he did, you know, he did the way he did it was this, you know, very, very businesslike today.
Yeah.
He answered the question.
Very interesting to me that Tobias Harris is his favorite player on the team.
Yeah, and I knew the answer to that, and I tried purposely not to. I knew that's his.
Huh.
He is a huge. He told me how stupid I was, and thanks because it was a podcast. When I was complaining about Tobias Harris in the contract last year, he was literally you're able to say things, and he literally just he called me names. He said, "I promise you, you will see the minute Doc was hired." First thing he says is, I won't have to hear you bitching about Tobias Harris.
Interesting.
I'll tell you. And little did he know about the first game.
Because of Doc Rivers. because of Doc
Rivers. And he was the Eastern Conference Player of the Week last week.
He goes, I won't have to hear you bitching about Tobias Harris.
And it's funny, if you're an Eagles, if you're a Sixers fan, rather, what he said has to be really uplifting for you. You know, like, he likes this team. He thinks it can work. He thinks Ben Simmons can get it done. He sees the non-jumper side of it. He thinks that Embiid is real close to being there. And I'll tell you, everything that he laid out, I agree with. I said at the beginning, Tobias Harris being your probably second leading scorer, third best player, is really key. And if he can do that 22, 23 points a night, which I'm looking for from him, I think it just adds a lot.
The one thing that Shaq said about the roster being constructed, when we talked about, because I'd always be asking about the Sixers, because mm-hmm. I'm a selfish bastard.
Yeah.
So I would ask him all the time, and he'd say, you can't zone this team anymore.
Yeah.
He said, you used to be able to throw a zone defense at this team.
That's what Brad Stevens did to Ben Simmons.
Spoelstra.
Yep.
You know, these guys were smart enough to attack the team.
Sure.
By zoning them to death. Mm-hmm. And he said, now you're zone proof. Huh. Now you're zone proof. Now they corrected that.
Sure.
But here, I wanted to hear an explanation here for people. Shaq knows who Daryl Morey is.
Yes,
but Shaq doesn't want to hear about anyone being discussed. Shaq has his echelon people.
Right.
And he said, until people accomplish stuff.
Well, Daryl Morey hasn't won, so.
That's his thing. He certainly knows who Daryl is.
Yes,
he certainly knows who he is.
Of course,
he certainly
does.
And he certainly thinks it was. And believe me, he thinks it was a good hire.
Yeah,
he thinks it was a very good hire for the franchise.
He made them zone proof.
But when he says that, that's something in his discussions with. He'll always say, "Oh, I didn't even know who that." He doesn't want to even acknowledge people that haven't accomplished something.
Like further down the road, a couple years, Joel Embiid doesn't win an NBA championship, and you bring up Joel Embiid, he could very well say the same thing.
Right.
I don't know who he is. If you're talking about all-time great centers, I don't know who he is.
Well,
he never won anything.
We had discussion over and over again on the podcast. And by the way, if you're interested in the big podcast with Shaq, you can go find it. We are on hiatus right now because after almost 6 years, we left Podcast One, and we are moving. We're going to move the podcast to a new venue.
Gotcha.
That's into, but we legally contractually have to wait. So, but if you go back and listen to some of the podcast, you will hear he loves a lot of things about the Sixers. He loves a lot of things about the Sixers. But when Shaq wants the best for young stars, he doesn't want to dog young stars. And by the way, he reaches out to these guys and tries to help.
That's very cool.
He tries to help. He tries to give. So even though he will bust you on TV and pick on them, it is done out of a place of I'm prodding you on to greatness.
Mm-hmm.
If you go and listen, and it is a great, I'm going to find the link to it. I got to do, before TNT did, I got to do the first sit down that Shaq and Kobe ever did.
Wow.
After their separation.
That's very cool.
On the Shaq podcast. And got to supervise it. I got to be the one who facilitated it. And Shaq took 70% of the blame for the problems in their relationship in the interview. Because I asked Kobe, who's to blame? We both are. I said, no. Let's put something on it. And Shaq goes, I'll put something on it. 70-30, it was me. That there were problems, it was me. Because Shaq misjudged that Kobe didn't need to be pushed as hard as he was pushing him to be great. That Shaq felt cocky young kid, I'm going to push him around. And they almost got in a fight one day at practice. And Kobe tells the story on the podcast of, he said, I started mixing it up with Shaq. And he says, and I reared back and put my fist up to him.
Mm.
And he said, and the moment he did it, the minute his fist went above his shoulder, he realized I'm raising my fist to Shaq. Now he's going to come across me and he could kill me. This guy could kill me because I raised the hand first.
Yeah.
And he said he went into the locker room later and was in front of the mirror and he shook.
Really?
That he did that. Yeah, he admits it. He said, I shook in front of the mirror because I realized Shaq could have killed me.
Yeah, you always think
that he was the one who raised his hand to Shaq. So Shaq would have had every reason to go pop.
Oh, yeah.
And just pop him down.
Yeah, you always think of those guys as the I'm afraid of no man. But to hear him say, I shook.
But then the next part of the story is Shaquille says that's the minute that he had the utmost respect for Kobe Bryant as a competitor.
He knew he didn't have to push him.
he knew that there was a dog in him.
Yeah.
That he didn't really think existed.
That's funny.
Because of the speaking multi-languages and growing up a little much cushier.
Yeah, right.
And,
sure.
And lower vision. And yeah. all that stuff. So when he saw that out of Kobe, he gave him the ultimate respect. And Kobe said he shook in front of the mirror.
That's fascinating.
Because he realized, I'm raising my hand, like, come at me. And he said, oof, that arm's going to come across and it's going to crush him.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to crush him at that point.
Yeah.
But it was weird because that was a moment in their relationship where they really
hit. I wonder if it was the same with Charles. Remember when Charles was with
Houston? And
having
gotten the fight?
Yeah, and they threw the ball at his face.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to have to go and get some of those interviews and get some of the stories because they are fun. That is
It's story time. Yes,
that is where Shaq's mom and Charles's mom became best friends.
Really? That's great.
Shaq's mom and Charles's mom became best of friends.
Really?
Yes. And when they but at that moment, they were all over them both, and each of the mothers defending the other.
Charles's
mother calling him out. Shaq's mother calling him out because Shaq says the only there are certain people who can check him, and his mom is one of them.
Yeah.
And he was like, that's really bogus. And then the mothers got to be close, and they worked together on some charitable functions in the Southeast.
Nice.
So, which is really
very
great.
Cool.
So it's really good.
Yeah.
All right, let's get a chance to check in on the linchpin.
This is the linchpin.
I feel bad for the Cleveland Browns.
Do you really? They're in the postseason.
And it makes me feel a little weak. But I'm like George Costanza. I can sense human suffering.
And you're drawn to it?
Kinda.
Okay. That's the question.
I feel for the people of Cleveland. It's been 25
You've been
years.
You've been
yes, I've suffered like they've suffered. I know they're great football fans.
They are.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I feel for them because they break one of the longest skids in sports getting to the playoffs this year. And now they have to enter the game without their head coach, PCL's finest, Kevin Stefanski. That's just unfair. And I know life's not fair. And as my parents would always tell me, show me the contract you signed that says life's fair. I get
I
all that.
That.
Yeah.
Okay, your mom's a winner.
Yeah.
If she threw that line out to you, she's a winner.
Show me the contract. I don't have one. Yeah, exactly.
Great job, Mrs. Lynch.
So I get that. But it doesn't mean I don't have a bleeding heart for them. Because, look, you can probably get through a first quarter with Stefanski scripted plays, the first 15, all that. But after that first 15, after the script goes out the window, that's a gut. That's a head coach's gut feel. And they're not going to have that on the sidelines this weekend. And I think it's totally bogus. And I feel for the people of Cleveland.
Here's my idea.
Because the Steelers are beatable.
Do you believe? Now, you have some intelligence on the Stefanski family. And I know from just being an intern and getting to know his dad a little bit back in the day, this is a smart guy.
Oh, yeah.
And he's usually thinking, Ed Stefanski was always a planner, a guy with a plan. You mean to tell me Kevin Stefanski isn't going to be talking in the ear of his coaching staff during the game? He will. They make this out like they're sitting on the couch passively watching. You know he's got his cell phone out and he's talking to somebody who then is relaying information.
Sure. Right?
Hey, we do a radio show from my kitchen. Okay, I certainly think that Kevin Stefanski, I'm not going against what you're saying.
No,
but
Kevin
Stefanski,
it's still a disadvantage.
Yeah, it is a disadvantage.
Yes, I mean, being there, he's not going to be able to get in a player's face in the middle
exactly.
of the game.
And
like, I don't know if anybody's going to come up and go, hey, look in here,
hey,
Stefanski.
Baker, Kevin's on FaceTime.
Yeah, exactly.
When you guys were having to be separated and not in studio together,
The show's
not as good.
Oh, exactly. The show's not
seeing each other, right?
Yes, right.
You're not seeing each other. You're not feeling the...
And there's an energy in here when we're all together.
When
and...
everybody's in your own house, there's somebody walking by you in a bathrobe.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are knocking
on... My cat's coming over and scratching at me. And, you know, it's...
See?
Could you imagine Baker Mayfield yelling, what's the Zoom link? What's the Zoom link?
Wi-Fi's down.
I'll tell you what, though. I feel the same as you, and I said earlier that I like the Browns. That's the team I'm going to kind of latch
on
to.
They can still beat the Steelers.
I think they're going to, too.
I think they might, too.
And my biggest reason, two biggest reasons, I don't think Pittsburgh's playing well right now at all. But when adversity hits, what do you rely on most, to me, for a football team besides defense, is your running game. And I think that they're going to methodically beat the Steelers this weekend. I really do.
Hey, it's brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. What does Anthony do? He gives out yos, right?
Yeah, it's a local small business.
So I walked over to Suburban Square, and I'm walking in Suburban Square with my mask on, with my winter coat on. I met Pat Smith, listener to 97.5 The Fanatic.
We love you, Pat.
A loyal listener to this radio station long before I got here. And Pat Smith, the sprinkler guy, is working on a sprinkler in one of the buildings, and he gets out of his truck, and he's turning, and he goes, "You're John Kincaid." And I said, "What?" And Pat Smith, the sprinkler guy, he is a huge Fanatic listener. I want to give him Anthony calls him Yo's, right? So we'll give him a Yo.
Nice.
Pat Smith, the sprinkler guy, and it's great. And so we love you. We love that you're getting attached to the show, and we hope that you continually will. People are attached to Jeopardy. That show is one of those shows that people get attached
to. I'm one of those guys.
And you are.
Me and Jamie are huge Jeopardy guys.
You will not miss tonight then, right?
Yes. No, I will. I have the Draft Line show with Devon tonight from 6 to 7. So I will set my DVR, record it, and watch it with my wife. Maybe over dinner, a glass of wine or whatever.
By the way, love you, Lynch, but Devon?
Oh, he's phenomenal.
He's smooth.
If I had to choose me or Devon, I'm choosing Devon.
No, just smooth. The voice. I'm saying your voice more like mine.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, Devon is smooth.
Oh, he's silky.
He's silky smooth.
Yeah.
Are you going to be a little, isn't it going to be a little weird tonight to watch?
Yes.
Alex Trebek.
I'm struggling. I sent this to you guys. I said, like, my wife, we got to watch Alex after he died. I'm like, no, we don't.
So it bothers you then?
It bothers the hell out of me. Like, he signs off at night. He'll sign off tonight. And, like, he's signing off on life. It really is.
Give me deaths that happened before now for 500, Alex.
My wife has to see it because it's his final shows. I refuse to watch.
You're not want to watch it.
Because I think it's kind of morbid. I don't know.
There is a degree of that. And I might get a little, choked up. Somebody might be cutting onions in my living room.
Rudes, yes, okay. That's the important word here.
Did you watch, I don't know if you watch some of the dramas they have on TNT, some of the shows they do on TNT. Mm-hmm. TNT rebooted Dallas years ago.
Okay.
They rebooted Dallas, and when they rebooted them, the show, JR, Larry Hagman came back and played JR, Patrick Duffy came back and played Bobby, but the show was about their kids and the next generation.
Like Charlene Tilton.
So, and they came back as, but their kids were the characters.
Now. Okay.
But Larry Hagman came back and played JR's death out on the show when he knew he was dying.
Oh, wow.
Literally the month that he was dying, he filmed JR's death on the show.
Wow.
JR ended up, he said, how does JR go out? He knew he had terminal cancer.
Right.
Knew he was dying. So Larry Hagman and the writers came up with a way is how would JR die? And JR framed Cliff Barnes for his murder.
Yeah, who shot him?
His best buddy.
His
assistant, Kristen.
Yes.
His sister-in-law is the one who shot him.
A lot of people don't know. The Notorious B.I.G. song, Who Shot You, was about Dallas and JR.
Yeah, about Dallas and JR. So Larry Hagman not only wrote his own, how JR, he wanted the character to be killed, but they set up Cliff Barnes for it, and his best friend, he had dinner, he had his best scotch, he sat in a chair, and his best buddy killed him with two shots.
Wow.
And but they set Cliff Barnes up for it.
Yeah.
And sent him into a Mexican prison. So, but Larry Hagman, you got to watch him, and you knew he was dying.
Yeah, as did he.
And he did, and got to pull it off there. Okay, we got through our first week.
We did it.
Our first week. I feel really good about it.
I'm hungry. I feel so good. I'm hungry.
Too. I'm hungry about it, too. Egan, first week, what do you give yourself? What do we give ourselves as a show?
A C.
What are you trying to just motivate us to have a better week next week? I like your thinking.
Yeah.
I like your thinking. We are going to do better next week. In our second week, every one of you, following along on Twitter, at 97.5JK Show. Following along on YouTube, watching the video, checking us out on twitch.tv. We love you. Anthony Gargano comes your way next for Pat Egan, the coach, Eric Camille, my friend Jamie Lynch, who I'm very much alike, I think, in a lot of ways, and Bob Cooney. I'm John Kincaid. Make it a great weekend, buddy.
The John Kincaid Show. I know that most people find his calm leadership to be a gentle, soothing beacon at a time of great social chaos. On 97.5, The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.